respect what I will do as president, and I want you to vote based on my policies. And he says that, and I will immediately come to his defense for anyone that says, I can't vote for Mitt Romney because he's Mormon. That's as wrong as I can't vote for someone because they're an atheist, and the majority of Americans have said that. But because he infuses his policies with his religion, is it fair game to attack him?
This is the Quality News Network. 12 states are suing the federal government for more open information concerning toxic chemicals that companies store, use, and release into the environment. New rules from the Environmental Protection Agency allow thousands of companies to keep information quiet about toxics they use in processing, such as lead and mercury. The civil action filed by New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo seeks to invalidate the EPA's revised rules. Iran's top leader is calling yesterday's Mideast peace talks a failure. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says no agreement is complete without the inclusion of Hamas leaders concerning any future Palestinian state. Meantime, at the White House, Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas wrapping up today's initial negotiations. Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf officially stepped down as head of his country's army today. He'll be sworn into his second term as president tomorrow. Martial law, meantime, remains in effect. In Iraq, a female suicide bomber detonated herself in central Bakuba, wounding 7 U.S. soldiers and 5 civilians. Another female suicide bomber blew herself up in front of a Sri Lankan government office in Colombo, killing 2 and wounding 2 more. U.S. airstrikes over eastern Afghanistan killed at least 14 local members of a road crew working on a highway. U.S. military authorities say the bombings were based on faulty intelligence. Talks about the future of Kosovo have broken off between Serbian and Kosovar leaders meeting in Austria. Both sides threaten violence should Kosovo declare its independence next month. An immigrant from Somalia was sentenced to a decade in prison for conspiring in an al-Qaeda scheme to blow up an Ohio shopping mall back in 2002. After serving his sentence, he will be deported. Tonight, CNN and YouTube sponsoring a TV debate featuring Republican candidates for president. The show airs live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And America's fourth graders are testing below the international level for reading. Test results released today indicate students fell out of the top 10, coming in 11th behind countries they beat last year, Russia, Hong Kong, and Singapore. You are listening to the Quality News Network. We'll be back after this message.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? 2/3 are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
Under public and political pressure, R.J. Reynolds has agreed to stop advertising its tobacco products in newspapers and magazines by next year. In Wisconsin, federal prosecutors have abandoned an effort to force Amazon.com to release the names of thousands of people who buy used books online. That after a federal judge ruled customers have a constitutional right to keep private their own reading habits. The FCC has rejected a plan to place the country's cable TV companies under tighter government control. The plan would have forced greater program diversity upon cable stations. Home prices fell 4.5%, the steepest drop in 20 years. Sales of existing homes and condos fell last month for the 8th straight time. Wells Fargo will absorb $1.4 billion in quarterly loss as a result of loan defaults. Japanese electronics company Sanyo surprised analysts by posting a profit for the first time in the first 6 months of the year, rather. And Toyota has recalled more than 215,000 high-end cars like its Lexus in Japan as a result of faulty fuel pipes. Near today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average way up at 331 points to end at 13,289, NASDAQ up 82 points, the S&P 500 up 40. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are, midway through the week. And, well, not just any night. It's that special night in the middle of the week, the one where we take note of our special connection to the universe, if you know what I mean. Yes, that's right, that's right. Come on, Bob, dumber than a bag of hammers. Turn the daggum, mute the monitors. Sounded like I was in a cave. I'm sorry about that. But yeah, not just any night. You know what night this is.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right, that's right, that's right. It's prayer meeting Wednesday right here on Head On. I am Brother Bob, and you are welcome to tonight's services here inside the Cathedral of Common Sense. Hallelujah, praise Jeebus. Come on down. We have your cookies, we have your little swallower of wine, it'll turn into blood and meat. And then you can put your hands upon the subwoofers and feel the healing waves of cognition just roiling and boiling and rolling through your brain. Hallelujah. So, last night during the horn section, you are listening to the horn section, aren't you? You podcasters, you know... Yeah, I don't know. I haven't mentioned it much on the show since we started it. From 11 p.m. to midnight, we do the horn section, and I've got to get that stuff over to Ben Birch so we can start archiving it for you guys who listen to new media the way new media is meant to be listened to, that is, on your terms, when you want to hear it. I think you'll enjoy the horn section. Fun discussion last night as Mark Levine, our compadre, joined John Fox, Peter Godbold, and me for a rousing four-way conversation for an hour. And in the course of that conversation, we talked a little bit about whether or not people should announce what their persuasions are, politically, religiously, whatever, whether people should use, say, sporting events to declare where they stand. Subject or the topic was the championship bridge tournament winners from the United States who held up a sign recently at the International Worldwide Bridge Championships. Mark, it turns out, is quite the bridge player. I'll have to get him to teach me to play sometime. But they held up a sign that said, "We didn't vote for Bush." They just scrawled it on the back of a menu right there. It wasn't something that was planned. It just happened. And the right-wingers and so Bush-lickers and Republicans and so forth inside the United States bridge community had a hissy. Well, that's not right. On the other hand, they don't say anything when the dude catches the pass and runs into the end zone, crosses himself, has communion, prepares the Eucharist, points at the sky and goes, "Hey, Jesus, thanks for getting the ball to me." Yeah, no, that's crickets.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Because they couldn't be bothered to talk about the foolishness or hypocrisy of something like that. But I reserve the right, and I told Mark so, and, you know, I don't think he took much issue with me. I told Mark that, you know, I'm glad when people come out and let us know where they stand. I want to support people who think like me. And I want to make sure that none of my money goes to support thugs and punks and horses' rear ends who support things like this filthy, misbegotten war of choice and the godforsaken occupation that followed it in the bloody, stinking, filthy sands of Iraq. I think I used as an example last night, I don't permit everybody loves Raymond to be watched in this house, because I'm a jerk. But I can't stand the thought that any portion of our demographic fraction could go to reimburse that woman that played Ray Romano's wife, because she is a vile, hateful, nasty, disgusting right-winger. And if I thought I bought so much as a shoelace for her, I would absolutely despise myself. I say all this because I got another one for you, because it is, after all, prayer meeting night. And you know what's been going on at Oral Roberts University? Oh, a university for Jesus. You know what's been going on there, right? As the old saying goes, Richard Roberts, son of Oral, got caught with his hands in the church secretary's drawers. The cash drawer, mind you. And there are allegations about other drawers and Mrs. Roberts and late night text messaging with one hand. And Oral Roberts' son Richard had to step down last week because of his financial shenanigans at Oral Roberts University, you know, using the university jet to send his daughters on their Bahamas spring break vacation, that kind of thing. Because, you know, if you're going to school in Oklahoma, you can't just road trip, you guys, and next thing you know, you're in the Bahamas. It doesn't work that way. So they had to send the university jet. Woo! Robert's girl's gone wild. Woo! Well, Oral Roberts University, it turns out, is in a heap, and I do mean a heap, of financial trouble. They are on the verge of going under. So, an angel has come along. Oral Roberts didn't even have to come out and say that God was going to call him home or nothing. Somebody just showed up. You know, sometimes people do that. You know, I know we've got a lot of people who are into crafts and handicrafts and doing things and painting things and weaving things and sewing things and embroidering things out there. You might want to know this, because, again, do you want your money to go to someone who is propping up a filthy institution like Oral Roberts University, a university built on the Social Security checks of little old ladies and little old men who denied themselves because Oral Roberts said that God wanted them to be poor so he could be rich, and told them that they were giving seed faith money? Well, it turns out that the angel who has come to the rescue of Oral Roberts University is none other than Mart Green. Who is Mart Green, you ask? Mart Green, and it says Mart here in the AP story. It's Mart Green, founder of the Christian office and educational supply store chain Mardell, and whose family also founded, and this is where the handicraft business comes in, his family also founded the Hobby Lobby chain of craft stores. Well, Green came along and said he would immediately give $8 million to the university, with another $62 million coming pending a review of the university's financial records. He said, let's get integrity. Let's get trust built back and the rest will go away. Let's straighten the ship. Mr. Green, here's a piece of advice. You're far more wealthy than I will ever be, but that doesn't mean you're intelligent. The only way, to use your words, that you get trust built back is to bulldoze Oral Roberts University, and it won't cost you $70 million to do it. Get a few of those demolition experts in there. Plant some shaped charges. Blow up that stupid prayer tower. Bring it to the ground. Destroy those idiotic praying hands. Take to the ground and salt the earth everything that was ever built with the fraudulently obtained money that was the stock in trade of Oral and Richard Roberts, and then start over. Preferably with a university dedicated to learning and scientific process instead of religious hobgoblinism and hokum and snake oil sales. Green said he's never attended the university, had no ties to the Oral Roberts family, just said he'd been following the university story in the media recently, and decided he wanted to help. The association, the Oral Roberts Evangelistic Association, isn't even separated from the university itself. That's something that the Board of Trustees, the university regents, that is, say that they're going to do now. They're going to close the cash drawer. The association itself is a non-profit ministry. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Nudge as good as a blind man. Say no more. It's a ministry that produces all the television and radio snake oil programs, including one called The Hour of Healing. And they're gonna get bailed out. And Mark Green apparently holds himself to be some sort of Christian. Mr. Green, if you look hard enough in America, you'll find some homeless people. As the housing crisis continues, you probably won't have to look that hard. And you know what? Some of those homeless people might even be people that you approve of their, you know, skin color and stuff. You being a fundy and all. You can find homeless people. It doesn't take a lot of effort, Mr. Green, to find people who have no health insurance. Call around to your local food pantry, food bank, mission, homeless shelter. You'll find lots of people who need lots of help. Mr. Green, you'll find any way you go about it looking in this country, people who need your $70 million a hell of a lot more than Oral Roberts' phony university does. Don't you think? Mr. Green, isn't your $70 million used a lot more wisely in actually following the words of the man that you profess to actually be God made flesh? Mr. Green, your Savior said, sell everything you own and follow me. Now, I'm sure you're not going to do that, Mr. Green, but that $70 million going to Oral Roberts University is not going into the service of Yeshua the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer. So that's where we start tonight. And God knows we've got other places to go. I got a little duo of stories that seem to fit together rather nicely that I think we'll go into presently. I think you'll find it interesting. And among other, well, it has to do with our civil liberties. And then, of course, there's also a debate tonight. Oh, glory, there's a debate tonight. There's a Republican debate tonight down in St. Petersburg, Florida. You know, we talked to Mike Fox last night about it. Maybe he'll call in this evening. I don't know. I invited him to. That'd be nice. And maybe we can find out a little bit about how the protest went today, the unity gathering, I think is what they were calling it. Maybe we can find out how that went. But you might be interested to know that, you know, the hucksters are at work here. It turns out that that debate tonight, just like the last CNN YouTube debate, the last dog and pony show, the last staged bit of political wrestling, is being brought to you by Clean Coal. Clean Coal for America's future. Clean Coal to help us get free of our addiction to Saudi oil. Clean Coal, it's what you need. Clean Coal, we won't tell you that we're ethnically cleansing an entire region of the United States to bring you the Clean Coal. Yeah, Clean Coal is once again sponsoring the YouTube debates. Who's talking about it? We're talking about it. But then again, we talk more about the impact of filthy coal on the United States, on our hearts, on our minds, on our souls, on our bodies, than anybody else. More than Air America, God knows, more than the mainstream networks, more than the newspapers, more than anyone else. You can find information here about what the extraction industry is doing to our country. And that is mainly because we are, in fact, America's liberal voice, independently operated and supported by you, listeners who still love America. We'll be back after this break. I'm Bob Kincaid. You're listening to The Horn.
Want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Here's the guy changing the way you hear music, Billy Shears.
Tune in to Night Sounds every Saturday night, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. You'll hear the latest in new music releases, special segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications with the sassy and classy Erica Richards. For requests and dedications, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. So tune in and stop by the chat room this Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hey. Thanks for lending an ear.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? If you did the unexpected? Would you feel scared? Proud? Relieved? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Or assisting an entrepreneur in Ukraine to launch her small business? Or creating a support group in Malawi for children orphaned by AIDS? What if you established your own path, one that others might follow? Would you rather make your own way or spend your life saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Minutes past the hour, we're back. Prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Brother Bob Kincaid. I am the rector of the Cathedral of Common Sense, and glad you could be along for the holiness festivities this evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, brethren and sistren. Sure seems like a lot better time spent here than it would be, you know, say, at the prayer tower of the Oral Roberts University. Right? Yeah. Let's see. We will get to that pair of stories that I want to share with you later. But let's stick with the prayer meeting theme. We haven't really gotten real thick with the sickness of the religious right. I thought I'd share their latest hissy with you, and let's do this from their own mouth, for heaven's sakes. There's a Kansas-based pro-life group that has its knickers absolutely in a twist right now. They've got a truck that features humongous blown-up photographs of gory human tissue that they like to drive around the country, and they recently got busted in Gwinnett County, Georgia. of all places. I mean, you know, it's not like they were driving through Liberalville or anything. But they're terribly, terribly upset. Let's hear it from the reporter's mouth.
Bob Roethlisberger was arrested and jailed over Thanksgiving weekend in a northern suburb of Atlanta on the charge of disorderly conduct for driving Operation Rescue's Truth Truck bearing signs with photos of aborted babies. Gwinnett County Police Department officers arrested Roethlisberger Saturday after telling him that signage on the truck was, quote, vulgar and obscene.
Which it was.
Officers ransacked the back of the truck without a warrant.
Ransacked.
And ordered Roethlisberger to change or remove the signs. When he refused, he was arrested and incarcerated for 4 days before being released on a $1,000 bond. The Truth Truck was impounded. Operation Rescue President Troy Newman says what these officers did was a violation of constitutional rights and
was
illegal.
These officers actually took a utility knife and cut these signs off of our completely legally registered and insured vehicle and incarcerated our driver for 4 days. I would think this is an abuse of power.
It isn't.
And we're going to use all civil remedies to rectify this
you
situation.
You have none.
Newman says the officers punished Roethlisberger for expressing a viewpoint that they disagreed with.
No, they
didn't. He says the legal right to display the images on the trucks has been upheld in courts across the nation. But Newman says the illegal arrest and destruction of their property by the police does prove one thing.
If these pictures are so graphic and horrible that we don't want to see them, perhaps we shouldn't be tolerating the act of abortion.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
Yes, you are. Rusty Pugh. Where did you get that name, buddy? I mean, who's your wife? A man to be reckoned with? Now, this is a fascinating little story because this is how the right-wing religion industry tries to twist the Constitution toward its own ends. There's an entire line of cases dealing with the First Amendment and free speech that talk about regulation of time, place, and manner of speech. And you know what? Driving around in neighborhoods, because that's where you take this kind of thing, or driving around to shopping centers, places that invite the public to come and shop peacefully, this is an assault. And no, the business about, well, if we can't stand to look at it, maybe we ought not be doing it. No, that doesn't quite hold up there, Rusty Pugh, or whatever the hell your name is. What it boils down to is, and you'd have to see this. Yeah, you can probably use the Google on the internets, you know, the series of tubes, and find a picture of this. It's disgusting. I mean, I'm looking at a very small version of it, and all you can see is blood. And they're assaulting people's senses, and it is obscene, and it is vulgar. You see, these right-wing freaks seem to think that just because it doesn't say damn or some other stronger word, that's the extent of vulgarity. These people are the height of vulgarity. You know, we ended the program last night talking about the move that is afoot in, what is it, Michigan, Georgia, Mississippi, and Colorado to define one sperm and one egg as a fully rights-bearing individual for constitutional purposes. Dig that. Dig that. These right-wing religion industry monsters want to define one sperm and one egg as a fully functioning person, but at the same time they will move heaven and earth and march straight into the mouth of hell to keep one man and one man from having a committed relationship with each other in the eyes of the law and the state, or one woman and one woman. Does that give you any idea of how sick and twisted the right-wing religion industry is? And, of course, this is the Operation Rescue follow-up group that had to use, again, what they do is they use the law to their own ends to avoid having to cope with the actual application of the law. In particular, Operation Rescue was sued right out of existence and then promptly declared bankruptcy to keep from having to pay a humongous judgment based upon their tortious harassment of women seeking health care. And they come back with this truth truck. It's vile. And you know what? As an American citizen, I have a right not to have my space defamed and obscenitized and vulgarized by these sick, twisted, disgusting, right-wing religion industry fanatics who know less about their own religion than I do. They claim it was a violation of their constitutional rights and illegal. Newsflash, buddy, there's a long line of constitutional cases that say you have an extremely diminished right of privacy when you're on the road. And since this was a great big old box truck, officers did have the right to do a cursory search for what is termed officer safety. Whether I agree with that or not is really not the issue. It is the law. I mean, a freak like this, remember, Oklahoma City, the Murrah Federal Building, wasn't taken down by Muslim extremists. It was taken down by right-wing freaks, just like the goober who was driving the truth truck. It was our completely legal, registered, and insured vehicle. I don't care if you had million policy limits on it, you right-wing Kansas geeks. That did not confer upon you a right to assault people in their day-to-day lives. And you see, that's what it is, assault. It's an assault. You don't have to touch somebody to commit an assault. It's just a matter of putting someone in reasonable apprehension. And you know what? If I saw this truck driving around my neighborhood, I'd wonder if it was full of guns or explosives. Because anybody who would do something like this, put bloody lumps of human tissue in a giant photograph all over a vehicle, I'm thinking they're not screwed down too tight. And you know what? They've got free speech rights. They absolutely do. And I defend them. But their free speech rights do not extend past my eyeballs. So, you know, once again, it's a classic case of these people, and you know how they are, they're dominionists, or, you know, they could even be, reconstructionists. And they believe that they have the right to subject you, whether you be male or female, to their graphic, gory, disgusting, twisted, truly twisted, because there's no context with this. You know, should I drive around Cleveland with a truck with big pictures of extracted teeth? What do you suppose would happen if we took a truck like this and blew up those pictures of those pathetic naked men at Abu Ghraib? You think the right-wing religion industry would come rushing to our defense? No, they'd scream that it was graphic and unfair and an assault on people's senses. And you know what? They'd be right. You don't have a right to jam information down somebody's throat. If you're standing outside giving away flyers, you cannot demand that someone take one. You can offer them, but the person can refuse. But you see, I can't refuse, or somebody in Gwinnett County, Georgia, can't refuse to look at that vile piece of pornography. If these pictures are so graphic and horrible that we don't want to see them, perhaps we shouldn't be tolerating the act of abortion. Well, Jesus, you moron! Pictures of an appendectomy aren't pretty either. Do you want us to stop doing appendectomies too? Heart surgery can get pretty gory. I've seen the Discovery Channel. I chose to. God knows any kind of thoracic surgery can get bloody and messy. Brain surgery? If it's so hard to look at, maybe we need to stop doing it. And that's at the bottom of the line. You know, that's what these people are all about. They're from the 14th century B.C. No, the 10th century B.C. The 20th century B.C.E. These are cave people without the clubs. They worship invisible sky gods. They believe in magic. They believe in zombies. And they want you to, too, and they get really mad when you say you aren't interested. If we don't want to look at it, maybe we ought not be doing it. You ever had a scalp wound? Nothing bleeds like a scalp wound. And they're not fun, and they're hard to heal, and they hurt. What if I took, you know, let's take pictures of scalp wounds and drive them around these people's church in Kansas. Put an end to scalp wounds. You know, it's like the late, great Bill Hicks said. If you people are really committed to being pro-life, quit picketing abortion clinics. Start picketing cemeteries. We're pro-life. You can't come in. Death is done here. Nope, we can't have any death. But she's 97. She got hit by a bus. Too bad. Merciful heavens. So there's our first freak of the evening. And guess what? We got lots of other freaks, too, but we also have a phone call to take. Hey, who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan, what's up?
Well, I was just thinking, if these people are going to insist on having that kind of photographs blown up on their truck, fine, let's get another truck with just the same size, blow up pictures of, how about a couple of gay guys making love?
Well, there's that route. I was thinking more in terms of driving around Kansas in a truck with pictures of blown up Iraqi babies, because those are already out of the womb, and that makes it even worse.
Well, not to the fundies. The worst thing you can come up with is two guys making love.
Yeah. I have a feeling.
You know, their eyeballs.
You know what? You wouldn't even come to think of it, Susan. You wouldn't even have to get graphic with it.
No.
Just a couple of guys kiss. holding hands and kissing, fully clothed.
Yeah. I can see it now. Every fundy in the place goes.
Oh, their faces would melt just like the evil dude in the first Raiders of the Lost Ark when the angel comes out. You know, just the eyeballs fall out and his face just goes. Right.
Oh, yeah, the Gestapo guy.
Yeah. I was once told that I bore a resemblance to him, and I resembled that remark very much.
These people are just really strange.
They're sick. They get off on this stuff. I mean, I have no doubt whatsoever that pro-lifers masturbate to these pictures. Okay, I know it in my soul. I know it.
No bet. I have no way. Yeah, I'm not going to even bet against you because I know I'd lose. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they didn't do exactly that.
And remember, this guy got busted for disorderly conduct, so you know what happened. They remonstrated with him. All right, you're going to have to do something about them pictures. We're getting complaints. Man, this is disgusting. I mean, this is Georgia, for the love of Jesus. And we're with you. I believe abortion's murder. But you can't be doing this.
Uh-huh.
I ain't going to do it. You can't make me. Boom. Cuff.
Right.
You know, he was in jail for 4 days or so. One can, I don't know, maybe his, well, no, leaving it alone.
Well, I can just see the some cops coming up to him and saying, "Hey, we got 80-year-old Miss Martha over on the other block. She just got an eyeful of this. She gave us a call. She's really upset.
And she can't keep her dinner down now."
Yeah.
You know, what are they accusing 80-year-old Miss Martha of having an abortion? God, I hate these people. But, you know, I mean, honest to God, if you were a cop, would you do a cursory officer safety search through one of these vehicles? Would you wonder if there were guns and explosives inside it when you know the history of Eric Rudolph and people like that?
Yeah. When you know the history of, when you've heard of things like the Order and the whole nine yards, Timothy McVeigh and the whole nine yards, you bet your bippy I'd be looking for guns. These guys are not well wrapped.
Nor screwed down any too tight. No, they're not.
No. Anyway, I just thought I'd toss that in.
That's fine. I like the idea. You know, it could be two guys kissing on one side and two women kissing on the other.
How about a double wedding?
Yeah, and just replicate the photo on the... Yeah.
Right. Oh, I do have one question.
See how much fun we could have, Susan, if we only had some doggone money?
Yeah. I do have one question.
Okay.
You mentioned the one sperm, one egg, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is supposed to be a person.
Well, I mean, you'll never catch me claiming that, but yeah, that's
well,
what
yeah,
the...
Well, yeah, I know. I'm talking about, this is what the fundies are saying.
Yeah.
How do they treat conjoined twins?
Now, see, there you go making life difficult for them. And it don't do me much good, neither. Oh,
well,
how...
I just live to serve.
I know, but I can, I can follow the what passes for logic in the minds of these idiots, and it gets really scary. I mean,
yeah.
What? And you see, we've had this stuff. We've had there have been proposals for reporting statutes for miscarriages.
Oh, good God!
Yeah, you didn't know that? There have been proposals in state legislatures that the cops have to be called if a woman goes into a hospital with a miscarriage. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for one instant, Susan? I mean, knowing full well the grief that is attendant upon that circumstance. A woman lying in a hospital bed being visited by a cop who wants to make sure that she didn't do it intentionally? Or subpoenaing her records to find out if she'd had a drink at dinner?
I'm going to say something rude and unladylike here in a minute.
Well, let's don't, but you get the idea. These people aren't going to let up. You know, we keep getting these stories, and the right-wing religion industry is very much demoralized. They're not demoralized. They don't take a damn day off, Susan.
No. Hey, what about these women who, and I've done this, the only reason I knew it was a miscarriage was I had had a pregnancy test. And then suddenly I wasn't pregnant anymore. But there was no sign of it because all of a sudden my period just arrived. That was the miscarriage.
I've heard some obstetricians and other sorts of scientists say that probably fully 50% of all human pregnancies are self-terminating.
Yeah, they're spontaneous abortion.
And
that is a medical term.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
The medical term is not miscarriage. It's spontaneous abortion. Because miscarriage implies somehow that the mother did something wrong.
No.
You know, that you miscarried it. You carried it wrong. You know, you didn't hold it by the handle or something.
Yeah. Or you got marked by this weird creature you saw, or... You saw the sign going by on a truck, and it marked you for life, you know, and caused you to lose the child and all this death, which is a crock. Basically.
But, those kinds of laws have been proposed. I've covered them on this show in former months and years and so forth. And they're always brought by the right-to-life industry because, and the thing that a lot of people can't seem to sort out, Susan, is why they want to do this. This has nothing about this isn't about babies. It isn't about fetuses. It is about control of women.
Yeah.
It comes from the same place. Boy, I'm going back to it again. Dang it. It comes from the same place in the psyche as beating a woman for being seen with a man not related to her.
It also comes from the same place as, do you know why women wore long skirts?
No.
Wasn't to keep warm.
It was to keep the sex-crazed horny men from seeing their ankles?
No.
Okay. There went my guess.
A woman can't run in skirts.
Oh, well, okay. Okay.
A woman cannot run in a long skirt. That means she
can't run too good in a toga, neither. That's why the Romans didn't go to war in togas.
Yeah. But the women always were gowned.
Yeah.
Because, see, if you're gowned, you can't run.
Well, there's, yeah.
I've always believed that one of the most influential things for the women's liberation movement and one of the most unrecognized is the ability to wear pants. Because then she can not only run, she can fight back.
And I think back to my grandmother, God rest her soul, whoever God is or whatever. And up to her dying day, she always said she would never be caught dead in a pair of pants because it was a violation of biblical teaching.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I mean, this stuff runs deep.
Oh, yeah. Way deep. The indoctrination goes way, way back.
And it starts, you know, almost in the cradle.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the reason that I've said, you know, let's not be reading any Bible stories to little Liza.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if we can get her well-adjusted and normal and everything without feeding her any garbage.
I grew up on things by Marguerite Henry, Walter Farley. I was horse mad.
Yeah, Black Stallion. I recognized Walter Farley immediately.
Marguerite Henry was also horses. But it may interest you to know that even today, I don't own a dress.
Really?
Don't own one.
So you were horse mad, but not side saddle mad?
Nope. Tomboy from get-go.
Well, you know, this isn't the last of the religion stories tonight, but that one just grabbed me because it so thoroughly tries to turn what the law is on its ear.
Yeah.
Because these freaks do not... And I remember when they had a billboard up in Charleston, West Virginia, and you didn't have a choice. You know, you had to drive by the damn thing, and here's this bloody blob of tissue. Abortion is murder.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It is in the fall. I find it highly ironic that the only time these people scream about liberty is when they're trying to force their views off on somebody else.
Well, what do you want to bet that this constitutional amendment in Mississippi passes? Or Colorado? Or, well, maybe not Michigan. Georgia?
I wouldn't be surprised.
And, you see, we've got a Supreme Court that won't overturn that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's states' rights. If they want to declare that a stalk of celery is a human being, they can do that.
Well, in which case I would.
And maybe that's the way you address it. You know, God, oh Lord, if only we had a multi-million-dollar foundation and we could go to Mississippi and get a constitutional amendment on the ballot declaring a turnip to be a human being.
or just bring up the concept of conjoined twins. Okay, guys.
Which one's the human?
I'm going to explain this one.
Yep, which one's the human?
Yeah. Especially after you separate them.
Oh, one of these days, we're going to be able to have so much fun. Driving, of course, you know, if we get the truck with the picture of the guys kissing or the women kissing, it'll have to be bulletproof.
Bulletproof and under guard because they're liable to...
Right, well, you'll never be able to stop it. Somebody will, you know, have to have a crew of three and you know, do that sort of redneck thing where you change drivers while you're still moving.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all, watch this, you know, and hope you don't take out a fire plug or a stop sign or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and be real careful when you're gassing up in case somebody decides to dump sugar in the gas tank. God, we're awful.
Yeah, we are, but sure would be fun.
I'm going to leave you.
All right, Susan, you take care.
Love to Agnes and the kids.
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
And we'll just keep this rolling onward and upward. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
Hello, this is Alan.
Hey, Alan, how are you? How's it going?
There. Pretty good, pretty good. Hey, I've been to Buford, part of Atlanta, and there's a lot of Asian people that live there. And I wouldn't think they would like that too much. I would think they're more liberal on abortion issues.
Well, I can't think of anybody. I mean, I can't think, even the staunchest anti-abortion critter would want this rolling down your neighborhood street at, you know, supper time. What right do these people have, Alan, you know?
They're sick.
They are indeed.
Have you heard about these women in pink and,
oh, Code Pink?
India.
Oh, in India.
Code Pink in India. There's an article about them on BBC the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting back. They're women fighting back.
Good.
They even go after a policeman who they thought was arrested a guy just because he was poor. So I like to hear women fighting back.
Well, I like to hear anybody fighting back, standing up for themselves.
Yeah.
I had a fascinating conversation with a fellow today. He's on the exact opposite, polar opposite end of the political spectrum from me. Pardon?
I said, I bet that was an uneasy conversation.
You know, it got easier. You'd be surprised, because it turned out he was mad about the same thing I was. Because we talked about incumbent politicians and the fact that he doesn't have any representation, I don't have any representation, we don't have any representation. On the Republican side, he knows that it's being stage-managed and it's wrestling. On the Democratic side, it's being stage-managed and it's wrestling. He knows that the Constitution's under assault. I know the Constitution's under assault. It was actually kind of enlightening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And one of the things he said, when we were talking about things that were wrong, he said, "And whose fault is it?" I said, "Don't blame the politicians. They're doing what politicians do. Snakes slither." He said, "Then whose fault is it?" I said, "It's the American people's fault." I said, "It's not your fault. You're informed. It's not my fault. I'm informed. It's the fault of the people. It's the fault of the people out there who spend more time worrying about what color Britney Spears' underwear is than they do about what kind of shape the Constitution's in."
Yeah, me and my right-wing brother-in-law, we kind of came to agreement on Thanksgiving about the NAFTA gap. So we came to the conclusion that that was bad, and both parties have been for that.
Again, you know, yeah, it's politicians doing what politicians do. So, you know, I don't know. I'm sure we would have eventually, had the conversation gone much further, we would have wound up saying, you know, okay, no, I can't work with you. But for those few issues, it was almost like being on the same side.
I think a lot of right wingers are starting to wake up. I find out that conservatives are not really on their side. They're really for big.
Well, and they're not really conservatives.
Yeah.
So
they're really for the wealthiest people in the country.
And that's it. It's not it's not Republicans or Democrats. It's rich and not rich.
Yeah. They're finding out that liberalism is really a good thing. That's what Thomas Jefferson pushed, I think. I don't think the word liberalism was used back then, but he used the word liberal, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where are you on the road these days, Alan?
I'm going almost to Knoxville.
Heading home or heading out?
I've been out for a few days. It's just like they keep me going to the same places over and over again, so
just
I have to...
Just running in a loop?
Church. Yeah, I have to trust shows like yours to keep me occupied, entertained. Well, I get bored to death.
Well, I feel a sense of responsibility, Alan. Don't ever let me put you to sleep or anything. So, I'll try to bear that in mind.
Okay.
All right. You drive careful and take care.
Thank you.
Good talking to you. Always is. See you, Alan. Our good friend Alan, out on the road near Knoxville. So there goes our first hour. You want to jump in, you're more than welcome to. I hope you will. You know the number, 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's toll free. If you can pay the freight on your own with your unlimited long-distance dialing plan or some such, 304-658-5453 is the number. We'll be back after the news. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush is asking for the world's support for future peace negotiations between Israeli and Palestinian leaders. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas are both on their way back home after reaching an historic agreement to settle differences concerning a future Palestinian state by late next year. Meantime, Iran's top leader is calling yesterday's Middle Eastern peace talks a failure and also predicts the demise of Israel as a nation. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says no agreement is complete without the inclusion of Hamas leaders concerning any future Palestinian state. President Pervez Musharraf officially left as head of the Pakistani army today. He'll be sworn into his second term as president tomorrow. A federal grand jury has begun hearing testimony in the September killing of 17 Iraqi citizens by Blackwater private security guards. In addition, the families of several victims have filed a federal lawsuit against Blackwater USA. Talks about the future of Kosovo have broken off between Serbian and Kosovar leaders meeting in Austria. Both sides threatening violence should Kosovo declare its independence next month. 12 states are suing the federal government for more open information concerning toxic chemicals that companies store, use, and release into the environment. New rules from the Environmental Protection Agency allow thousands of companies to keep information quiet about toxics they use in processing, such as lead and mercury. The civil action filed by New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo seeks to invalidate the EPA's revised rules. French President Nicolas Sarkozy returning early from a diplomatic mission to China in order to address the third night of youth riots. Cars and buildings have been set afire, more than 100 police officers injured. A Chinese warship sailed into Tokyo Harbor today for the first time in more than 50 years. The ship is on a tentative mission, signaling an effort to diminish longstanding hostility between the two Asian nations, make that neighbors. A wealthy businessman from Oklahoma City has promised to bail out Oral Roberts University with a $70 million donation. Last week, the school's president resigned in light of accusations he and his wife used university funds to pay for a luxurious lifestyle. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll be back after this message.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their local banking.
So what do you look for when you decide where you're going to put all your millions?
Well, I haven't printed up enough to put it in the bank yet, but I guess for convenience, and pretty much it's like a grocery market. You get to meet the people there, and you build a little rapport with some of them.
You know, it's a local bank. but it's part of a network of local banks that give you big bank services.
Everything that I need as far as banking is concerned, they have it. Online banking is great for me. So I just like the services that they offer.
You ever taken your dog Cindy to the bank?
As a matter of fact, when I went to open my account, she was with me.
Ah!
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a horse come through one of these days. We got a lot of cowboys come in and out of here, too.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Another resignation at the White House. The Bush administration's top economic advisor resigned today. Alan Hubbard joined the White House staff back in 2004. The publisher of the Wall Street Journal, Dow Jones, saying it plans to sell 23 daily and weekly newspapers it owns in seven states. Dow Jones is to be acquired by Rupert Murdoch's News Corp within the next 4 weeks. Consumer confidence fell this month to its lowest level in 2 years, analysts blaming record-setting oil prices and the ever-deepening housing slump. Americans spent $733 million online Monday for holiday gifts, a 21% increase over this time last year. Even though office supply chain Staples reported a 5% decline in quarterly profit, its numbers still beat Wall Street expectations, shares soaring nearly 11%. And Toyota has recalled more than 215,000 high-end cars like its Lexus in Japan as a result of faulty fuel pipes. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $90.62 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average way up to 331 points to end at 13,289. NASDAQ up 82 points at 2662, and S&P 500 up 40. There's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, it's hour number two of this Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. I'm Bob, Brother Bob. Let's see, I've been Brother Bob, Rector Bob. You know what? I'm giving myself a promotion tonight. I'm going to be Bishop Bob. Heck, by the end of the night, I may have run myself all the way to Archbishop. Cardinal Bob in the Cathedral of Common Sense. What do you got to be to have a cathedral? You got to be at least a bishop to get a cathedral, right? I'm Bishop Bob. And just a reminder for you, I checked in with our official statistician on the war on Christmas, Peter Godbold, the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host. He of Strictly Confidential, which follows this program every evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. And our War on Christmas consultant, that would be Monsieur Godbold, informs me that there are only 27 days left in the War on Christmas, so for heaven's sakes, please don't get caught up in the War on Christmas rush. Wage war on Christmas now, for heaven's sakes. Maybe an upside-down Christmas tree. That seemed to really get the hackles raised of the American Family Association. Lowe's mistakenly printed and you know, I don't even know that they printed it this way. The goobers at the American Family Association may have actually just gotten a flyer that had the page folded upside down in it. But Lowe's has run selling an upside down Christmas tree, and they're calling them family holiday trees, and they're not calling them Christmas trees, and why do they hate Jesus? Lowe's wrote back and said, God, what were we thinking? We're so sorry we printed that Christmas tree upside down. Please don't hate us anymore, Brother Wild Vaughn. Death, destruction, agony, and all the heartache that is the pathos of sad, pitiful, little itsy-bitsy, tiny, micromolecular specks that we are in the grand scheme of the universe. And these phony followers of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer, are worried about beyond, they've gone beyond the sexual orientation of human beings. They're worried about the spatial orientation of phony pine trees. Just damn, you know? Folks, priorities, please. There's a war going on, and it ain't against Christmas. Oh! Let's go straight to the phones. Our good friend Kevin dials in from beautiful downtown Brooklyn. Hey, Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Oh, hallelujah, praise God, I'm doing dandy.
Okay, maybe you should elevate yourself to Cardinal, Bob.
Really? I can be a Cardinal?
Sure, why not? I think so.
Now, you know, don't get me all worked up. I'm liable to make myself Pope. No, I tell you what, you guys can all be the Cardinal, and you can elect me Pope. Oh, wait a minute. Gunny Bob in the chat room's telling me I can be Bob Almighty.
No, let's not go that high. Anyway, I have one question for you, you being a West Virginian and all.
Okay.
What are these people going to do who live in your state, the unenlightened bunch? And I know not all West Virginians are like this.
No, but we got a lot. Don't worry. It's okay.
When the future finally hits them, because you know what's happening in West Virginia, especially like on the eastern part of the state? A lot of people from like Washington and the major cities of the Northeast are buying property out there.
That's true. That's they have humongous infrastructure problems in places like Berkeley County.
Oh, yeah.
Charlestown, Berkeley Springs, Martinsburg. Yeah.
And what's happening? There's this guy who works on Wall Street. He commutes from West Virginia to Wall Street helicopter. It's only about a one-hour flight.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that wouldn't be so bad. As long as he gets to, like, land on top of the building or something and just jump in the elevator, you know, sort of Maxwell Smart style.
Yeah, they have a heliport at the Wall Street where all the real bigwigs whisk away off to their castles in the mountains. Appalachia. It's kind of like, and they said this got spread out in West Virginia, neighbor of the glass.
Well, Kevin, that's why we're building these humongous housing developments on the rim of the New River Gorge. The thinking is that, you know, if we get broadband in there, that people can just live on the rim of the gorge in all of the natural splendor that is the New River Gorge, the Grand Canyon of the East, and they can be Wall Streeters or they can be Washington bureaucratic functionaries and never have to leave the glory of wild, wonderful West by God, Virginia.
Exactly, and I'll tell you, but cities in Berkeley County and in Greenbrier, which is like the hot thing for the Northeast.
Greenbrier County and Pocahontas County. Dear God, Pocahontas County. That is a playground of the rich and the famous.
Yeah. What are these people going to do? What is the native, you know, because West Virginia to me is like a lot of Floridians are now moving to Alabama and rural Georgia.
Oh, are you saying, yeah, what are the natives going to do? We've been shoved around and dispossessed and thrown out of our homes for 150 years now since the railroads first came through.
You know, that's what really could, and, you know, the coal mining interest, but it's not going to be at least interest that's going to put you in jobs. It's going to be interest that's just going to have you disappear. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I understand completely, Kevin. The developments on the New River Gorge, there's only one problem with these things. For starters, the ground, yeah, there's not a lot of dirt on top of these mountains. You know, you go down a couple of feet, and, man, it's solid rock, and the ground won't perk. Do you know what I mean by perk? Ground has to be able to absorb a certain amount of liquid in order for a septic system to work.
Oh.
And the ground won't perk, and there's not enough public water supply, and the infrastructure hasn't been built in, and it's all just going to happen by a miracle, I guess. But you ask what's going to happen. There are ramifications also for the people who come in and, you know, want to live the pastoral, idyllic life in the mountains. I don't know how to explain to these people, but unless they've all got helicopters, it's kind of a pain in the ass, Kevin. it really takes a lot of getting used to. I mean, there one place where Agnes and I lived when the babies were considerably smaller, and you know, small enough for you know diapers to be a concern. It was we were like the children of Israel gathering extra manna on Friday, where diapers and baby food and formula were concerned. Because if you ran out in the middle of the night, it was literally a 2-hour round trip to go get more. And as gasoline becomes more and more expensive, even for the Tony class, it's going to be a real challenge. And, you know, over in Pocahontas and Greenbrier County, it's not just around the corner to the local Wally World.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think in Martinsburg it's a bit different because...
Well, Martinsburg's downright urban now.
Oh, well.
I mean, by West Virginia standards, it really is.
Oh, okay. And I got to measure it that way because to me, urban is Manhattan. Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. You're in the sticks in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah. And I would even call that urban because, you know, Tokyo puts urbanization on a whole different plateau, which will make New York look like a cow town, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just saying, you know, what are these people going, you know, especially the church snake-handling crowd there, which I want to get back to. You know, can you imagine some Wall Streeter getting rang by the door by some of these people now?
Oh, look, you know, these people aren't planning on having their doorbells rung by anybody because they build the house and then they build the wall.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, and you know, that's directly contrary to the entire Appalachian lifestyle, too. It's, you can't, at least in former centuries, you can't survive in a place like this without your neighbors, without your village, without your, you know, what Van Morrison calls your own ones.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, a different time when, you know, you can have things flown in. And these people will have stuff flown in.
But to where? Now, I mean, I understand Martinsburg, Charlestown, sure. But for the Tony class that wants to live at Snowshoe, or wants to live in Greenbrier County or Pocahontas County, yeah, there's an airport at Lewisburg.
Yeah.
And there's a Wally World at Lewisburg. But to get to the places where you really want to live, you got to get the hell out of town.
Yeah, well, like I said, you know, these are people that I'm talking about who basically are wealthy enough to have a helipad on their premises so they can just call their helicopter pilot to, you know, start the whirly bird up. We're flying off to New York to go shopping for a couple hours and then fly back down.
I guess there are those, well, there are those who do that even now. I mean, there's part of that class that lives in the state capital, Charleston, who, you know, there are dailies out of Charleston to New York to Washington, D.C., whatever. They're not terribly expensive flights. And I guess you can go and do that and, you know, just make arrangement at Saks or Bloomingdale's or whatever to have it shipped in. Because, you know what, there's a lot of people that can't find a lot of hollers in West Virginia, but UPS is not one of them.
And, you know, that's what, you know, and to me it's like it's displacing a whole group, a rather significant group of people, significant as far as culturally. And, you know, you and I, especially me, and, you know, I apologize in advance if I have offended you in the past, you know, kind of knocked this out. And, you know, and the Appalachian culture, and what people forget, Appalachian culture, in spite of, has produced so much good, and it is the heart of America. It really is.
Well, you just gave me an opening, Kevin, to plug one of my favorite books, because it did come out in paperback a while back. We had Jeff Biggers on. Everybody who doesn't own the United States of Appalachia is cheating themselves. Jeff Biggers, B-I-G-G-E-R-S, The United States of Appalachia, catalogs everything that has come out of Appalachia. And as it turns out, every movement, every social concern, every good thing, from music to art to poetry to industrial processes to manufacturing to labor rights to human rights, the abolition movement, journalism, was all born within this space that we call Appalachia.
Yeah. And, you know, people forget, and people often associate the Appalachian region with the South. Appalachian Mountains stretch from Canada to, I think, the Florida-Alabama border.
They actually stretch, they sort of curve through Georgia and then into Alabama and peter out in Mississippi. I think there are actually some counties in Mississippi that are within the purview of the Appalachian Regional Commission, if that gives you any idea.
Okay. And, you know, it's like I'm a Revolutionary War buff, and, you know, if you look at the Revolutionary War, you can't look at the Revolutionary War without getting into the French-Indian War.
Oh, no. And you can't talk about the Revolutionary War without talking about the Battle of Kings Mountain.
Yes.
When all those liquored up hillbillies did a forced march over the mountains and stomped the guts out of a bunch of conservative Tories led by some British general, I forget who he was, but just wore him out. Drunker than Adams off ox they were too.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm just saying the Appalachian region is the soul of America, of the United States, and I think. If I was in charge of National Geographic Society or whatever, I would want to, like, preserve, like, in every state that contains the Appalachian Mountains, like, a certain reserve or whatever, you know, and I'm just thinking off the top of my head, because what's happening now is that these people are going to be displaced, and I tell you, I often say Brazil is the proletariat of the United States, as far as race relations is concerned.
Yeah.
Brazil is a very interesting country in the sense that they, too, have their mountain people, and they're not necessarily Native American or African. I have a cousin who's married to a woman of German Brazilian descent, and they live in a region called the Brazilian Appalachian. It's a German-speaking state in Brazil, and this is a very rural, you know, backwards area of Brazil. You know, it's not São Paulo, Rio, and all that. You know, a lot of people in this region speak German. And just like Appalachia, a lot of the people in Appalachia are of German heritage, too.
Oh, yeah, we've got it. There's a saying here that the English came and built a house, the Germans came and built a barn, and the Scottish came and built a still.
Oh, yeah.
I am, of course, Scottish.
Yeah, well, yours truly, too, but we're Jamaican apple. Jamaican version. And I know about the still culture myself.
Well, Kevin, it's mighty good talking to you, and, you know, I hope you'll give us a scream later in the week as well. If you get a chance, you really should get, because I know you do like your history, you should try to lay your hands on the paperback version of United States of Appalachia. I'm sure there's some fine booksellers there in Brooklyn that would probably be more than happy to get it in.
Yeah, I'll talk to you.
All right, take care, Kevin.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. In the wilds of Brooklyn, our good buddy Kevin. And let's see if this is still someone on the line. No. Doggone it, you got to have a little patience with me. That's why it's conversation radio. It's about 22 minutes past the hour, probably time. Okay. Are we going to try this again? Are you going to stay with me? Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey.
Hey.
Juanita.
Yeah, I know.
I just heard you on the internet, and I didn't know I was already on. Oh, whatever that means.
I understand.
Well, he kind of stole my thunder. I was going to call you Pope Bob.
I don't want to be your holiness. I want to be your silliness.
There you go. I love silly people. I always tell my son when he was growing up, I said, silly people enjoy life, you know.
Well, you know, the late, great Kurt Vonnegut said toward the end of his life, Juanita, he said, I am convinced that we are put here to dance.
Yeah.
And I think...
You know what tries to knock that out of us. Anyway.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to call today about fear.
fear?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And it was funny that Guy James had talked about, you know, about it too, and I tried to call into him. I never could get in. Something was wrong somewhere. But anyway, I had, you know, they call themselves Christians, these people. They're supposed to be in charge of our government.
Right.
And this verse in the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy.
Yes, indeed.
And I truly believe that fear is the main, if you want to call anything sin, I would say fear is the number one sin, because it causes us to commit all the other things, you know.
That is very, very perceptive, Juanita, because most of the evil that people do, they do out of some level of fear. You're
right.
Absolutely right.
And I know I was raised, well, nobody knew any better, you know, about sex or anything like that. Nobody really knew what to tell you. But ignorance is not bliss in that case. I didn't mean to bring up sex in particular, but...
Oh, but we do that all the time, too, so it's more than all right.
But, you know, the sex education and all, I remember my son started school, you know, and all the... they want sex education in school, PTA, you know, they had the... pediatricians and all, they were all against it. All of them here were against it. And my gosh, we had so many girls who had babies at 13 and 14 and all, you know, and just from my little community. But I truly believe that ignorance is not bliss in that case. And I think a lot of it, you know, I can go by my own self. You get fearful about being by yourself, and you do things you wouldn't ordinarily. If you didn't have fear, you probably wouldn't do a lot of those things, or I don't think I would have if I'd had fear. Knowledge, and knowledge helps you not to have fear. Did I say that right?
Yes, you absolutely did.
Did I make...
you're making all kinds of sense.
And, anyway, you know, this thing about what we're living in now, be afraid, be very afraid. It made me angry when, after 9/11, and all these newscasters, you'd hear them, and they'll say, oh, the American people, they're all afraid, we're afraid, we're afraid. And it made me mad, because that is not right. That's not true.
I guess, Juanita, maybe I don't have a proper perspective on it because I don't live in a New York or a Chicago or something. But I don't, for my part, I and no one that I know walks around scared to death of the terrorists. I know a lot of people that walk around scared to death of what's going to happen to their home mortgage. I know people that walk around scared to death of what's going to happen, when the sludge dam breaks. I know people that are scared to death about what's going to happen when some kid goes off in a school with a gun that he has no business with.
Right.
I don't know anybody walking around terrified of Osama bin Laden.
Are any, you know, and that's not Christian. That is not Christian to have fear. But think about what people overseas think about the people here in the United States like that. That's what really makes me mad, is their lie about the people over here. And, I mean, we're better than that in a lot of ways. I know plenty of us are stupid, but, you know, and we do some stupid things. But we're hardworking and everything. And it makes me mad when they say, oh, we need people over here to do the jobs that American people won't do. Well, my folks, I guess you could have called them migrant workers. They migrated from Georgia to come to Florida to work in the citrus. They did all those jobs. The only thing with now is, with all these jobs, is that they don't want to pay anybody, You have to have a certain amount of money.
Precisely.
To live.
Exactly. And if you're living 15 guys in a single two-bed hotel room, I guess you can survive on $4 an hour or $3 an hour. But
yeah.
But you can't raise a family on that.
And with us, you know, they bring all these things. If I didn't have to have all this blamed insurance, you know, you got to have insurance on your car. You got to have insurance on your home, and you're at their mercy. And well, you don't have to, they don't care for whether you have any insurance on your hospital or not.
No.
Care about that.
Well, because consider Juanita, what are you most likely to use as a human being? You're most likely to use your health insurance. So it's going to be mandatory that you have car insurance. It's going to be mandatory that you have homeowners insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bank will require it. The state requires auto insurance. Because that's good for the auto insurance industry, because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to use it. And so,
yeah.
Therefore, it becomes...
I had thought about that. Well, that's true.
Yeah, it becomes absolutely... well, it's a shell game. It's a con. It is a government enforcement of a con. Now, meanwhile, let's turn this on its ear for a minute and consider the recent flap about whether or not so-and-so would give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
What do you have to have before you can ever buy car insurance?
Right. You should have a license, I would think.
You need a driver's license and you need a car. Now,
yeah.
what these right-wing, xenophobic, brown people-hating Republicans have done is make sure that more, and you know, not just, it's not like they're only going to hit liberals. They've made sure that people are going to be hit by uninsured drivers because the driver, being
right,
an undocumented worker,
absolutely,
can't get insurance.
Absolutely. And you know, and as far as having to work and all, if you don't have a car, especially down here, they've pretty much paved over Central Florida. Maybe the whole state, I don't know. You know, with all these highways, you think there'd be enough after a while. But you have to, and the crime is so bad. Now, I know about 10 or 15 years ago, I used to walk to work for a while, you know, and I had people trying to pick me up and all that kind of stuff. But now, you just put your life in your hands to walk around.
Sure.
And, you know, and there's very little public,
transportation?
Yeah.
Well, but that's a social program, Juanita. And we can't, you know, you live in Florida, and I'm not gooning on Florida. But, you know, you're mostly run by a bunch of conservatives who would drop dead.
Even with the name of Democrat.
Yeah, who would rather drop dead than actually do something that benefits the people in general.
Right.
I mean, when you go to a city that has decent public transportation, for somebody like me and maybe somebody like you, it's a jaw-dropping experience.
Yes. And I think about how much money I could have saved some money, you know, but the car insurance and the car repairs and all that kind of junk, you know, it's just like having another child or worse.
And the taxes and the insurance and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the maintenance and God knows $3.25, you know. Well, we're coming up on the end of 2007. What do you want to bet, Juanita, by 2008? We'll see $4 a gallon gas. Easy.
I think some places in the United States are.
Yeah, true,
already.
Too.
Already.
Yeah.
Ours down here is over 3-something already. The lowest amount is like 3.7 the last time I was at. And, but the thing is that they keep going up on everything except salaries.
Well, that would be communism.
Yeah. But it's a deep subject, honey, I'll tell you.
Well, it is.
A deep, deep, deep subject.
But the thing is, as long as you're talking about it, Juanita, and as long as you're talking to people you know about it, and as long as the people listening to these programs are talking about it,
mm-hmm,
then we've got a chance. because what I said earlier is very much true. The agreement that I came to with the conservative I was talking to, I might disagree with him philosophically. I certainly disagree with him politically.
Yeah.
But we both are under are in agreement that it's the Lindsay Lohan crowd and the people who want to know what Madonna is wearing this year more than they want to know what's happening to the Constitution who are the real danger to this country. You know, I don't want to disenfranchise anybody or tell anybody that they can't have the vote, you know, based on any of the ancient bigotries and hatreds like skin color or gender or anything. But I'm getting to the point, Juanita, where I think a lot about this middle of the road. You know, these people who we're told, you know, that they're the ones who choose our elected representatives for us, not the hardcore Democrats, not the hardcore Republicans, but these independents, these middle of the road people. You know who these people are? They're morons. Juanita, they are morons because if you're paying attention and you have any philosophy or starch about you at all, you're going to pick a side and be on it. So if you haven't picked a side, that means you're picking your nose for the most part.
That's like Dale's saying about the mug wump.
Mm-hmm.
The mug is on one side and the wump is on the other.
Yep.
I always remember that. And I always hear them talking about middle of the road, and I think, well, what in the heck are they talking about? You know.
Only
what
thing
is
I ever
the middle
see
of the road, gee.
Only thing I ever see in the middle of the road is squish possums.
Yeah.
Well, Juanita, what a lovely conversation this has been. I hope we'll talk again soon.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about a thing I saw on Free Speech that they were advertising, but I can't find the name of it. But it's something to do with, I don't know if it's West Virginia or not, but it's something to do with the coal mines and unions, and they're going to show it sometime on Free Speech.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's,
I wish I got that channel.
Well, do you get links? Sometimes they show the same programs on there.
Sadly, no. No, I get lots of Electric Jesus and several Home Shopping Network channels.
Yeah.
But no Free Speech TV and no Link TV. Yeah.
Well, the I won't be getting it after the first of the year because I'm going off of all these paper things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, my son built antenna.
Uh-huh.
And he can get a bunch of local channels.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going for, you know, because I'm tired of paying all this money. It keeps going up.
Yeah, you pay all this money and you get 14 home shopping channels and 19 evangelism.
You know, you watch a lot of that on the internet too. They show a lot of those shows. There's one already on about.
Well, you know, I was looking through a computer gizmo catalog today, and I noticed that there's a thing out there now. It just plugs right into your computer, and it's like a TV antenna, and it'll bring when local stations start broadcasting in high definition TV, bring it right into your computer.
Yeah, that's what my son's got hooked up, and I went to cancel my TV thing.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me 3 months free.
Well, go cancel it again next month, and maybe they'll give you 3 more, Juanita.
I just said you're too high, you know, and I can't get the programs I want. You know, I have certain ones I want, and the others are a bunch of junk.
Well,
I've got 40,000 music shows on.
Yeah, they recently realigned my cable here, Juanita, and not that CNN is any great shakes, but I did it. They took away my CNN, they took away Headline News, and they took away MSNBC and Keith Olbermann. The only thing I've got left now is Fox News.
But there's some ways to watch a lot of these things on the Internet, if you know how.
Yeah, some of it you can.
But now some of the regular shows are showing some of their shows on, you know, the like ABC and so forth.
Right.
And some of CNN is starting on that, but I don't get CNN now. You know, that was one thing that was cut out. But, I get, you can watch all of the C-SPANs on the Internet if you go to C-SPAN.
That's true, yeah. I've done that a good bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. I'm sure somebody in your chat room can tell you how to get Keith Upperman, too. I'd like to get that, too, because I don't get that.
Oh, I go and watch little clips of him on MSNBC's channel instead of...
Yeah. Isn't he wonderful? He's a godsend.
He is. I enjoy the heck out of him. He's.
Yeah, I do, too. It's amazing they let him stay on. But that thing about the other, about the mine, what I wanted to say about it was... And if I find it, I'll call you back another time on it.
Okay.
But it's something to do with some union leader that they lynched. And that's what I want to talk to you sometime about, the lynching, too.
Well,
But anyway, that's another time. But I'll get my facts straight, you know.
Okie doke. Okay,
and
that's
I'll
fine.
Call you back. Did you get a thing about Jeb?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And what do you think?
He's pure, unadulterated, 100% sleaze.
No, but I mean, what do you think about interviewing the author?
Oh, I'd very much be interested in that, and I'm trying to make contact.
Good, yeah. Because I think they are going to try to push this guy in one way or the other. I mean, you know, the Mormon guy, what's his name? He said he'd
Romney?
Like to have him for a vice president.
He said that?
Huh?
He said that? Romney's already...
Oh, yeah, he said that a few months back.
Oh, mercy
for
heaven.
Not Ron Paul,
Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney.
Yeah, Romney. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I said, well, I think I'd watch my back. He does.
That's
I didn't say that, did I?
No, you didn't say that.
I'm going to get in trouble talking.
Agent Fred Juanita did not say that. Juanita, you have a wonderful night.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, indeed. Bye-bye. And keeping it rolling on. Hey, who have I got?
This is Kathy Bracewell.
Well, hi, Kathy. How are you?
Oh, hi, Bob. I'm really good. How are you doing?
Oh, just lovely, I think. Did you happen to go to the St. Pete thing today?
No, I did not go. I just got home from work about a half an hour ago, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, work does count.
It does count, but my son, Brett, and my boyfriend, Phil, Central Florida Veterans for Peace,
right,
are over there as we speak. And I got a phone call from them. They were excited about it. It's called Rise Up, The System is Broken Gathering, March and Rally, and it's put on by the... actually sponsored by the Progressive Democratic Groups of Florida.
Right. We had Mike Fox, who was doing their PR.
Oh, Mike Fox. Sure.
We had Mike on the show last night talking about it, and he sure seemed fired up about it.
Very fired up. Phil was talking to him on his cell phone just before he talked to me. And so I guess they're very excited. I'm sure I'm going to hear from them probably within an hour or so to let me know how things are going over there. But they're... they're right in the midst of things right now, I'm sure. I just called. First of all, I wanted to say I hope you and Agnes had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. We did. We did. The whole tribe of us. I tell you what. I got a 20-pound turkey, and the poor thing didn't stand a chance.
Oh, I bet. I can only imagine. Just like some of the turkeys we've had with our family, not one prayer.
Oh, I turned around. I handed the last plate off, and it's like, dang, what happened to the turkey? Yeah. No turkey salad, no turkey sandwiches, no turkey soup.
Oh, my God.
No turkey.
Well, everybody was hungry.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's amazing how hungry you can be, and within 15 minutes, everybody's stuffed.
Well, that's very true, because I sat down with my plate after I'd served out to everybody else. And, yeah, 15 minutes later, it's like my center of gravity's changed.
I know. You can't fit another bite in. It's amazing. It's amazing.
But we eat kind of late in the day. Our Christmas dinner and our Thanksgiving dinner always come later. And so everybody was starved by the time.
Oh, that's good.
And just landed on it. I mean, it was, you know, you could lose a digit. You know, hey, pass me the clicker. No.
Well, I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
And we did, too. Everybody over this way had a wonderful time. And the day after Thanksgiving, this is really the reason I called, Bob, is to let you know about a little experience once again. Phil and I went up to Boston to celebrate a good friend's birthday. He went for the long thing after Thanksgiving weekend. And we left from Orlando, the Orlando Airport, International Airport. I was checking in my bags, and Phil, as usual, wherever we go, Phil usually has some progressive flyers he hands out to people, sometimes with DVDs.
Bless his heart. You know, I admire him so much.
He's tireless, and he's so committed. You know, he's constantly making these flyers, copying DVDs, you know, that are copyable, of course, and handing them out to people out of his own pocket. So he was doing that. He didn't have DVDs, but he had flyers, and he gave a couple to the young guy in back of the counter. I didn't think anything of it. I was busy, you know, making sure my bags were checked in properly, and then left, and we boarded the plane, and we were fastening our seatbelts, sitting there relaxing, when all of a sudden one of the young women workers came up to us and said, "Kathy Bracewell, Philip Bristino," and we said, "Yes." And she said, "Will you please follow me? I'm asking you to leave the plane." Well, we
what?
I could not believe my eyes. I honestly, Bob, I was shocked. We were right up in the front of this plane, and the plane was packed. And we were up in, we weren't in first class. I don't think there was a first class, but we were up towards the front. So she said, "We need you to leave the plane, step out of the plane." So we were shocked. So we said, "Okay." We went out, and she had us go way out into the, off the ramp, everything back into the airport. And she said, "You will not be able to fly." And she said, "You were detained downstairs, weren't you?" And we said, "What?" She said, "You were, you know, that you were stopped downstairs." And we said, "No, what are you talking about?" And she said,
"What airline was this?"
This was JetBlue. And she hauled out one of Phil's flyers, and she said, "It's because of these flyers." She goes, "We are not going to allow you to go back on the plane." And I'm telling you, Bob, I was ready to cry. I had
I'm sick, Kathy.
I was ready to cry. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I was just, tears were starting to form. And I just said, "What is the reason?" And she said, "It's these flyers." She goes, "I'm going to have to," and I said, "You mean we can't get back on the plane?" And she said, "That not on that plane." She goes, "Just like that." Then the young guy that had checked my bags in from way across downstairs in the airport mysteriously appeared. And he was there, and then another woman, security person, and they said, well, Phil said, "What is, you know, we didn't argue, we didn't, you know, we didn't cause a stir." Phil, and I was just ready to cry, and he said, "Well, what is the reason? You know, we didn't do anything wrong. You know, he said, "I did hand out some of my flyers," and she said, "Well, since 9/11, anything that you may hand out that's progressive in nature like this is very questionable." And she said, "I'm going to have to check with my superiors."
Oh, so my God.
He said, "Well, you mean we can't get on a flight?" And she said, "Maybe not." She said, "I'll have to check with the supervisors." So we waited there, and a few minutes went
by. Sue them, Kathy. Sue them.
It was unreal. And all of a sudden she said, "Oh, the supervisor said it's all right, you can get back on the plane." And the whole experience was just mind-boggling. I'm still kind of, when I think about it, I can't believe it happened. So, of course, they were ready to take off, so I guess we were holding things up. So when we got on the plane, if looks could have killed, I mean, all those eyes were on us, and they looked like they were ready to kill us, like we might be possible terrorists or something. I mean, it was
Kathy, I am not kidding.
It was bizarre.
If you haven't already, contact the ACLU. Sue this sue him.
I have not
sue him.
Anybody. I'll mention it to Phil, though, because that was unbelievable. Well, we got to Boston, and then we had the most.
I mean, you might be. I don't know this for a fact, but you might have a colorable case for false arrest. You might have a colorable case
really
of kidnapping.
They didn't arrest us.
No. They don't have to. They're not law enforcement.
To ask us to leave our seats on the plane. I mean, that was just unreal. It was
now crazy. What you've got here. Probably, my guess is, you've got some little fox-watching, right-wing, ditto-head idiot who wanted to extract a pound of flesh from you for having the unmitigated temerity to act like an American citizen with Bill of Rights protections.
Right. That's all we were doing, you know, exercising our First Amendment rights. We were not even pushy about it. I mean, I didn't even say anything. You know, but I was with Phil. Of course, I support everything he hands out. But and I wouldn't back down. I would, you know, hand him out myself. But I was just too busy worrying about my bags.
What a horror story.
It was unbelievable. I've never experienced anything like it. And then coming back in Logan Airport, the security, and there was especially one young security guy, the people were waiting. It was like you were waiting in such a long line to be put through some kind of, I don't know.
Meat grinder.
Yeah, meat grinder. You're just waiting in all long lines of people, like an assembly line. And this one particular guy, I couldn't believe it. It was a young guy pushing his authority around. And I guess I was super sensitive after the experience going up there. Just pushy. And this older gentleman had a vest on. And he goes, get that vest off. You could be harboring a knife under there. And the old man goes, what? And he goes, take that vest off right now. He's just really nasty and pushy. I couldn't believe it. And Phil goes, well, look, when they get a little bit of power, I guess people that get a little bit of power just can't wait to, you know, put.
Oh, that's pathetic. Well, you know, it's the same story with, a 70-year-old lady set off the metal detector because of the underwire in her bra.
Can you believe?
And they had an absolute blue screaming sweat condition alpha hissy fit.
That I can believe after the experience this past weekend.
I mean, can you imagine? We've gotten to this place in this country now, Kathy. A woman has to be cognizant of the makeup of her underwear.
Isn't that?
You have to, male or female, be particularly careful about your shoes.
Right. Definitely.
You know, if you're coming back from a weekend checking out some Broadway plays and you're in the airport and you look at your buddy and you say, man, what a bomb that was. Yeah, you're just not going anywhere.
Right. You got to watch the terminology.
I was kidding around with Susan in the first hour and I said, you know, if only we had a bunch of money to go around and do stuff, we could have so much fun. Because, I think the American traveling public should stop flying. And it would be nice to have the money to front a movement, quit flying.
Wouldn't it?
Just stop it.
It's amazing what they've done. If they've taken all the fun out of flying.
I've got another, speaking of fun and flying, I've got another idea. You know, these people are so bananas about the clothing we wear. I think every woman should show up to get on an airplane in a two-piece bathing suit and every man in a Speedo and everybody should wear flip-flops.
Oh, that would do it.
Now, you know, that's there's a lot of people out there going, oh, my eyes.
Right.
You know, because great big old pink me showing up in a Speedo is nothing joyful to behold, trust me. But by the same token, somehow or another, we have to point out to these freaks, and they are freaks, Kathy. I mean, they're authority freaks. We have to point out to them what a bunch of fools they are.
It's amazing. It's truly amazing. I still can't believe that happened, but I just thought I'd share that with you. And
well, I tell you what, I would not hesitate to get hold of the ACLU, and get them get referred to some lawyer, because if nothing else, I think you should probably be able to get your ticket price refunded.
Well, that might be an idea.
Or maybe get
awfully expensive.
Yeah, or maybe get some get a couple of freebies on JetBlue.
I'm telling you, because that was totally uncalled for. That was just uncalled for. I just thought I'd share it with you, Bob. And
well, I'm so glad you did, Kathy. I'm sorry you guys had to put up with that. You know, it's another
amazing.
Oh, it's another one of those, you know, what happened to my country sort of moments.
It truly is.
You know, talking with Mike Fox last night, he was talking about all the police protection. He said, you know, there's not this much police protection for a football game at the stadium.
Oh, I bet there isn't. I can only imagine over there.
That theater, I think he said, holds 2,300 people. That's it.
For heaven's sake.
And every police officer from, you know, four or five counties around is in there. You know, what a time to rob a bank, huh?
Perfect timing. Yeah. I'm sure it's crossed the mind of some bank robbers.
Yeah, you know, I ought not say things like that on the air. I'm going to get in trouble with the agent Fred one of these days, and you know, then what'll I do? But you know, I can't remember the last time I got on an aircraft, and I have no plans of getting on one anytime soon.
Yeah, well, that experience really makes me wonder about the next time I go flying. That was a total shock. It was. unbelievable, really.
Take, you know, they don't necessarily get you there on time or anything, but no. Heck, take the train.
Yeah, that's an idea. We're thinking about going out to San Francisco, and we did talk about the train.
Well, you can get...
Maybe we'll get some free JetBlue tickets.
Well, that'd be don't give up on this. Don't take this lying down.
That's an idea.
Be a nuisance about this.
Well, we were perfectly polite. We didn't argue, but yet we did not back down because we realized we had done nothing wrong. So we just asked, "What have we done? You know, what is the reasoning for this?"
It was nothing but a shakedown, Kathy. It was nothing but a shakedown.
It was totally stupid.
Morons.
Morons. To show what's happening in this country, it's amazing things the way things are going.
Terrified morons.
True.
I mean, you know, welcome to the terror nation.
Really. They are the terrorists, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they are.
People that are in control.
They're the people who are trying to make you feel terror, aren't they?
Good Lord, that's for sure. Thinking about all the worldwide deaths that have happened because of them, but devastation, you know, and environments destroyed. I mean, it goes on and on because of this global elite. It's really horrifying. To me, they are the terror.
Well, I couldn't agree more. You know, I'm glad you're home safe. I'm glad this call's not coming from Guantanamo.
Oh, that's what my friends were saying. Our friends in Boston we could have easily just disappeared off the face of the earth. That's how they do it.
Yeah, it is.
You have to leave the plane, and we could have just disappeared. It was all flashing before me real fast, in fact. And I think that's why I got a few tears in my eyes. I was thinking about my son. We were shipped off somewhere or whatever. You know, it could happen.
Yeah, and, you know, even just because it gets said with a redneck accent, your papers are not in order, is not any less terrifying.
Oh, no. No, not at all. It's the same spiel behind it.
Well, when you and Phil head to San Francisco, go to Amtrak.com, and like I said, you know, if you've got to be there by a certain time, afford yourself like a one-day window because they won't get you there on time. But you know, it's not that bad a trip, and you get one of the little roomettes along the way. It's got two fold downs, and it's not that expensive as compared to a plane. A plane trip. You'd probably have a heck of a good time.
It might be an adventure too.
Food's better.
Is it?
It's all microwaved, whether it's an airplane or a train, but the food's better.
Well, we just got chips and, I think, peanuts on the airplane.
But they were patriotic peanuts, right?
Yeah, right.
Freedom nuts.
All right.
Kathy, dear, you do take care, and give our regards to Phil. I'm so glad that he's over there in St. Pete.
Tell him, Bob.
Yeah, I hope that, I hope there's a lot of outreach going on. I hope people are looking for common ground. And more than anything, I hope they can do a wonderful job of showing what a sad, pathetic snake oil job these debates are. And I mean Republicans and Democrats alike. These aren't debates.
It's also staged. It's
wrestling.
It's just insane. Just to, you know, I don't even waste my time with it.
There's more credibility in the WWE. Okay.
Yeah, there really is.
I mean, I afford Vince McMahon more credibility than I do Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, really.
Kathy, take care.
You too, Bob, and say hi to Agnes.
Oh, I sure will. I absolutely will. Bye now.
Thanks a lot. Bye bye.
God bless Kathy and Phil for the presence of mind that they had. Because I think somewhere along the way, I would have gone all Yosemite Sam, and you know, I'd been hogtied in a stress position before I knew what hit me. Stag, flaggle, rassin, frackin, brink, stack it, down the damn plane. But then again, I'm sure I'm on a terrorist watch list anyway, because after all, I am Bob Kincaid, threat to national security. So, hey, you want to jump in, or shall I do a couple of stories after the top of the hour? It's entirely up to you. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob.
The city streets are empty now. The lights don't shine no more. And so
This is the Quality News Network. 6,000 Sunni Arab residents of Iraq will join a security pact with American forces in what U.S. military officials term a critical step in securing any remaining escape routes for members of al-Qaeda. The new alliance is being called the single largest volunteer mobilization since the war began. In response to this week's Middle Eastern Peace Conference in Annapolis, Maryland, Iran's top leader, who was not invited, predicts the demise of Israel as a nation and calls the summit a failure. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says no agreement is complete without inclusion of Hamas leaders concerning any future Palestinian state. Meantime, President Bush is asking for the world's support for future peace negotiations between Israeli and Palestinian leaders. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas both on their way back home now after reaching an historic agreement to settle differences concerning a future Palestinian state by late next year. A federal grand jury has begun hearing testimony in the September killing of 17 Iraqi citizens by Blackwater private security guards. In addition, the families of several victims have filed a federal lawsuit against Blackwater USA. In Iraq, a female suicide bomber detonated herself in central Bakuba, wounding 7 U.S. soldiers and 5 civilians. U.S. airstrikes over eastern Afghanistan killed at least 14 local members of a road crew working on a highway. U.S. military authorities say the bombings were based on faulty intelligence. 12 states are suing the federal government for more open information concerning toxic chemicals that companies store, use, and release into the environment. New rules from the Environmental Protection Agency allow thousands of companies to keep information quiet about toxics they use in processing, such as lead and mercury. The civil action filed by New York Attorney General Andrew Cuomo seeks to invalidate the EPA's revised rules. And CT scans are putting more Americans at increased cancer risk. New study published in the New England Journal of Medicine indicates that in a few decades, as many as 2% of all cancers in the U.S. may be caused from radiation from CT scans being given now. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll be back right after this message.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, "We must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light." This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, when we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Consumer confidence fell this month to its lowest level in 2 years. Analysts blame record-setting oil prices and the ever-deepening housing slump. Even so, Americans spent $733 million online Monday for holiday gifts. That's a 21% increase over this time last year. Home prices fell 4.5%. That's the steepest drop in 20 years. Sales of existing homes and condos fell last month for the 8th straight time. Wells Fargo will absorb $1.4 billion in quarterly loss as a result of loan defaults. The company blames foreclosures in its home state of California and throughout the Midwest. Even though office supply chain Staples reported a 5% decline in quarterly profit, its numbers still beat Wall Street expectations. Shares soared nearly 11%. Toyota has recalled more than 215,000 high-end cars like its Lexus in Japan as a result of faulty fuel pipes. And GM says it'll begin producing a hybrid car in China next year. Toyota is so far the only company in the market there. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $90.62 a barrel. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average way up at 331 points to end at 13,289. NASDAQ up 82 points. The S&P 500 up 40. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Here I am. There you are. 5 minutes after the hour, Wednesday night prayer meeting edition of Head On. And, you know, here in a minute, I know, sickening to contemplate, but we're far enough past the dinner hour, or at least before it maybe, that nobody's will get ruined or anything. We'll check in on the freak show that is the Republican wrestling match. Sure, why not? But I want to update you. You know, I started off telling you a little bit about the Oral Roberts University debacle. Well, I just got this in the mail from our good friend Peter Godbold. Oh, wait till you hear this. You're just gonna love it. It turns out that Richard Roberts, son of Oral, Moral Oral, decided to resign as president of the wholly fraudulent, phonied-up, dummied-up, ginned-up, faked-up medicine show that is Oral Roberts University because God told him to. Now, look at the things that Richard Roberts has done. Look at the people he's defrauded. Look at the con that is his religion. Now, imagine a supreme being that would actually waste its omnipotent time talking to scum like that. Nope, God told him on Thanksgiving Day that he should resign the next day on Friday. Quote, every ounce of my flesh said no to the idea. I wanted to strike out against the people who were persecuting me. But the Lord said, don't do that. And for the first time in 60 days, peace came into my heart. This has nearly destroyed my family, and it's nearly destroyed ORU. Roberts claimed today that God told him he would, quote, do something supernatural for the university. Oh, mercy. I'd be watching the seismometers in and around Tulsa, Oklahoma, if I was them. Because if God really does anything supernatural, I mean, we're talking about lakes of fire and brimstone, that kind of thing. But no, what it was is he found out that Mart Green was willing to give up $70 million that needed to actually go to doing the work of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer. But instead, we'll be going to ORU. Because previously, in another one of those little conversations, Richard Roberts had said that God told him to stay and fight. God can't make his mind up. God is fickle, I guess. One day it's stand and fight, one day it's quit and run. God told him that anybody with $70 and a typewriter could file a lawsuit. Is there anybody left in America that believes this stupid hokum? Honest to God, is there? If there is, I think they probably live underneath a bell jar at Ripley's Believe It or Not Auditorium. That's ODDITORIUM, Auditorium. Because they're certainly not competent to live in a complicated society like today's. Let's see who's on the phone. Hey, welcome to the program. Okie dokie. Let's see. Well, let's go and check out the wrestling match, if we can make it work. Here we go. In this corner, in the blue trunks, the Magic Underwear Marvel. In that corner, in the red trunks, the libertarian loon. In the other corner, in the white trunks, the cross-dressing mayor. Oh, they're watching YouTube now.
Of these men. Time is short, we're voting soon, and I just thought I'd mention.
You're kidding, right?
Consensus, then we'll decide at convention.
Dude, it's not American Idol.
Right.
Oh, what a con.
All right, enough of the singing, enough of the snowmen. Let's begin the debate. From one tough-talking New Yorker, a question to another tough-talking New Yorker.
Oh, how cute, Anderson.
This is Ernie Nardi from Geica Heights in Brooklyn, New York, with a question for the ex-Mayor Giuliani. Under your administration, as well as others, New York City was operated as a sanctuary city, aiding and abetting illegal aliens.
Oh, aiding and abetting. You can tell how he feels about it.
If you become president of the United States, will you continue to aid and abet the flight of illegal aliens into this country?
Ernie, that was a very good question, and the reality is that New York City was not a sanctuary city. A single illegal immigrant that New York City could find that either committed a crime or was suspected of a crime. That was in the executive order originally done by Ed Koch.
Well, we see where this is going, don't we? Yes, let's start the debate with a question for the cross-dressing mayor about the brown people. The scary, scary brown people. Hang on. What's he saying?
Would have had 70,000 children on the streets at a time in which New York City was going through a massive crime wave, averaging 2,000 murders a year, 10,000 felonies a week. The other two exceptions related to care, emergency care in the hospital, and being able to report crimes. If we didn't allow illegals to report crimes, a lot of criminals...
Illegals. You know, like Dennis Kucinich said, illegal human beings. Oh, this is just beautiful. God, why didn't they show up with white robes on and hoods and pillowcases and burning crosses and stuff? What a bunch of sick freaks.
They did not.
Oh, look, there's Chuck Norris.
And what we did, the policies that we had, were necessary because the federal policies weren't working. The federal policies weren't working, stopping people coming in to the United States. If I were president of the United States, I could do something about that by deploying a fence, by deploying a virtual fence, by having a border stat system like my Comstat system that brought down crime in New York.
A who's a what?
Stopping people from coming in and then having a tamper-proof ID card. Time. Governor Romney, was New York a sanctuary city?
Absolutely. Called itself a sanctuary city, and as a matter of fact, when the Welfare Reform Act that President Clinton brought forward said that they were going to end the sanctuary policy of New York City, the mayor actually brought a suit to maintain its sanctuary city status. And the idea that they reported any illegal alien that committed a crime, how about the fact that people who are here illegally are violating the law? They didn't report everybody they found that was here illegally. And
oh boy, them Republicans love that.
This happens to be a difference between Mayor Giuliani and myself and probably others on the stage as well, which is we're going to have to recognize in this country that we welcome people here legally. But the mayor said, and I quote almost verbatim, which is, if you happen to be in this country in an undocumented status, and that means you're here illegally, then we welcome you here. We want you here. We'll protect you here. That's the wrong attitude. Instead, we should say, if you're here illegally,
we'll string you up.
Not be here. We're not going to give you benefits other than those required by the law, like health care and education. And that's the course we're going to have to pursue.
It's unfortunate, but Mitt generally criticizes people in a situation in which he's had far the worst record. For example, in his case, there were six sanctuary cities. He did nothing about them. There was even a sanctuary mansion. At his own home, illegal immigrants were being employed.
I know. I gotta get away from this before I have to go and take a shower and stuff. But honest to Pete, is this the Republican Party? This is their number one concern? This is how they start their dog and pony show? The scary brown people? Well, so far it's the Rudy and Romney show.
No,
Okay, then listen. All right, then listen.
You did have illegal immigrants working
Norton?
In your mansion, didn't you?
No, I did not. So let's just talk about that. Are you suggesting, Mr. Mayor, because I think it's really kind of offensive, actually, to suggest, to say, look, you know what? If you're a homeowner and you hire a company to come provide a service at your home, paint the home, put on the roof, if you hear someone that's working out there, not that you've employed, but that the company has, if you hear someone with a funny accent...
Ah, it's the old subcontractor argument.
There ...and say, I want to see your papers. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, what I'm suggesting
no,
is...
No,
if you are going to...
You know, I talked a little bit last night about the fact that we live in a culture where no matter how hard you try, it is very difficult not to do evil. No matter how moral you are, it's hard not to participate in a system that does evil. And I will be the first one to say that I stand before you convicted. I'm sitting here running an entire broadcast studio on nothing but blown up mountains. Studies say that children do best when they eat fresh fruits and vegetables. Every single fruit and vegetable that I buy in the grocery store has at some point been touched by slave labor. And I'm actually trying to live a non-evil life, and I'm still doing evil. And here's Mitt Romney, this greasy freak who combs his hair with olive oil and a fork, this goon who thinks his underwear is magic, and he's saying, well, you know, I hired a company to cut my grass, and it's not my fault if they brought in undocumented alien workers. You know, they just told me to pay X number of dollars. Hey, dumbass, Mitt! Look at how much you were asked to pay for that. Are you moral enough to ask the contractor what he pays the people who push the stinking mowers? God, I hate these monsters. That's not difficult. You don't have to dig too far on the Google to find out what happens to the people who are picking the damn bananas you're slicing on your cereal, and you're sitting there looking at a company, you're signing a contract with them, and you can't even be bothered to ask them if they are paying a living wage to the people that will be working on the grounds of your godforsaken mansion, you son of a bitch! Holy cow! And this guy wants to be the president of the United States! What the hell do you think Halliburton's gonna get away with if the magic underwear man gets to be president? He can't even check out the people mowing his damn grass! What will Blackwater do in a Romney administration? Sick, 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 monstrous reptilian freaks. Oh, Fraud Thompson's talking now.
We're going to cut off federal funding for you. You're not going to do it with federal money.
Well, I believe that. I don't know if he was talking about, you know, the Gulf Coast recovery or the fire prevention in the American Southwest or... mining safety regulations. We're going to cut off federal funding for you. You know, because the same answer obtains, because he's a godless, soulless, motherless, brainless Republican.
Surprisingly.
I'm alive again.
As far as Mayor Giuliani is concerned, I am a little surprised the mayor says, you know, everybody's responsible for everybody that they hire. But we'll have to... address that a little bit further later.
Well, gee, Fraud, are you responsible for the trucks that you rent?
In retrospect, probably is a bad decision.
Where time's up for this.
He did have a sanctuary city. In 1996, I helped pass the bill.
Wait, how far are we in? We're 20 minutes in and we're still talking about sanctuary cities?
So if it wasn't a sanctuary city, I'd call that a frivolous lawsuit.
Right, oh, we got a buzzword in. It's a frivolous lawsuit.
Mayor Giuliani, we have to allow you to respond. 30 seconds, please.
New York City was not a sanctuary city. New York City did three exceptions. The three exceptions were to allow children to go to school, to allow those illegal immigrants who were the victims of crime to report the person who assaulted them, beat them up, mugged them, and third, to allow emergency care in the hospitals, which we were required to do by federal law. We had a policy of reporting every single illegal immigrant, other than those three, who committed any kind of crime
Time.
Or were suspected of crime, and we reported thousands of them to the Immigration Service, and few of them were deported.
Thousands.
Senator McCain, let me bring it back to the question that was asked by the YouTube user. Would you be willing to veto any immigration bill that involves amnesty for those who have come here illegally?
Yes, of course, and we never proposed amnesty, but, you know, this whole debate...
Come on, please, let him answer.
You know, this whole debate...
Come on, please, let him lie.
...saddens me a little bit, because... We do have a serious situation in America. In 1986, we passed a law that said we would enforce our borders and gave amnesty to a couple million people. We gave the amnesty. Now we have 12 million people and still borders that are not enforced. I
came to the Senate. You know who wins out of all this? That noted Sioux tribal leader Tom Tancredo. Because, you know, he's a Native American. He's... God knows his people didn't come from across the Atlantic Ocean or anything. This is his issue, and they're right out of the gates with it. And the agricultural sector, you know, I think, oh, wow, holy cow, it's a flashback. All of a sudden, I'm 40,000 feet up bombing grass huts in Vietnam. Damn, this is cool! Oh, you know, I'll keep this thing up, and I'll see who's blabbing from time to time, and maybe we'll come back to it, but... No, I was wrong. I had dinner a good while ago, and it's making it want to come up again. And I don't want to see it twice. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Oh, there it is. I've just been told this makes for shitty radio. Okay. Well, let's find something else that's not quite so awful. Prayer meeting stuff. Alabama school board to decide fate of graphic sex novel. You know what the graphic sex novel is? The graphic sex novel is an award-winning book called Sandpiper by Ellen Whitlinger. And it contains a passage about a child's experimentation with sexual activity. A grandmother saw a book that her child didn't even get from his own school library, but borrowed from another library, and immediately ran to the Tuscaloosa County School Board to make sure that it was banned, when it wasn't even in her own kid's school. Book burners. Book burners. Lord God. Meanwhile, we're over there in St. Pete talking about brown people and sanctuary cities and whether or not Mitt Romney has enough common sense to find out who's mowing his grass. Turns out he doesn't. Let's go to the phones. Hey, who have I got?
Wayne.
Who?
Wayne.
Oh, hey, man, what's up?
Oh, same old, what's up with you?
Oh, another night in Happy Valley, you know, just sitting here watching these Republican freaks, you know, talk about how much they hate brown people.
Okay, I want to get off all that.
Okay.
What did you discuss the Supreme Court decision yesterday?
Yeah, I spent about an hour on it.
Okay, very good. Well, the more I think about it, the more disgusted I get. But
oh, we're bought and paid for. But you know, then again, the one thing I did do last night, Wayne,
it's so hard in my mind to paint a more perfect. Out in the open, you know what I mean?
This is a mugging that takes place without a ski mask in broad daylight.
Yes.
I mean the lady with the scales and the sword. They just whacked in the blindfold. They whacked her.
Yeah. They're gonna cover. cover up with a picture of Gonzalez or something.
Brent Benjamin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, the thing that I pointed out, Wayne, is that, and I laid it all out. I went all the way back to 2004 and played my little comments back then about Brent Benjamin and the fact that they were trafficking in rape, which is true. They were. You know, they were re-raping Tony Arbaugh. Remember that name?
Yeah.
But, you know, this is one of those moments. It was one of those moments when I really missed the little wing nuts who used to hop up and down and scream back when I was on Buggy Whip Terrestrial Radio. Because, you know, if they saw that story, and that story was designed, of course, not to be seen, seeing how it came out on Thanksgiving Day.
Yes.
I can't help but wonder how they feel to know that I was right, that I predicted everything that happened.
Right. But, see, I miss them dudes, man. And your conversations with them, I mean, you... those were fine moments, Mr. King.
But my blood pressure's so much better now.
I mean, no, you tore some of them guys up, and I mean, when the people, the Bible freaks and stuff would call in and gonna argue with you about what's where and everything like that, and them not knowing your background, and it was...
it was delightful.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. It was.
Well, the problem is, you know, we're on the internet now, and most of those people could barely work a radio, Wayne.
Well, that's true too. Now, some of them aren't listening, right, Jeff?
Yeah, not listening.
But you know, it would. You know, you were right. You know, and whether they're ever man or human being enough to admit that.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to get even more sickening when the Roane County oil and gas cases come down and the fix is in for that one, too, because this is more multi-million dollars, only it doesn't involve Don Blankenship, so Brent Benjamin's going to be more than happy to fix that one.
Yeah. Well, he has other friends, too.
Well, yeah, because one of his co-justices...
I mean, read that article, you know.
Yeah.
The one Supreme Court justice that voted for it was bought and paid for and put in office by Don Blankenship and Massey Energy.
And for the sake of the kids.
For the sake of the children. That's exactly right. The other Supreme Court justice that voted for him has been Don Blankenship's friend since childhood. And then, you know, Robin Davis, well, Robin needs a favor, too. So.
Yeah, yeah, because there's a judgment to be protected.
Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
I mean, if this was any other organization except a state Supreme Court, Wayne, they'd be under indictment for RICO, racketeer influenced corrupt organization. You know, they'd be accused of being all mobbed up.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And I mean, it's to me. I mean, I would say it'd be very hard to find a more blatant example.
Yeah, but what are the people of West Virginia going to do about it? Is there anybody in the House of Delegates with enough guts to bring an impeachment petition against Brent Benjamin?
Boy, I know one I could talk to.
I know one I wish you would talk to.
Okay.
Because
that's an excellent idea, Bob.
Because otherwise, we are, you know, Brent Benjamin was elected.
He's kind of a Dennis Kucinich in many ways.
Yeah, in many ways he is.
Yeah.
Benjamin was elected in 2004. That means we are stuck with him, do the math, till 2016.
Yeah. I'm well aware of that.
Between now and 2016, how many times can he get on his knees for Don Blankenship? What can Don Blankenship get away with? You know, we need little just plain white bumper stickers with big black letters that say impeach Brent.
That is an excellent idea, Mr. Kincaid. I think that we might be able to get a few people to go along with that.
You know, next thing you know, it's just like Alice's Restaurant. You got,
I mean,
you,
people that,
you got a
now,
movement
is this
going.
The same thing, impeachment starts in the House?
I can look at the Constitution, but yeah.
Okay. And how many sponsors do you need to get?
Well, it's got to be a majority process.
Well, I mean, for them to pass it, but to introduce it.
I don't know. I'll have to do. I mean, I know that that's the only means of getting rid of this little
things, man. When I, you know,
Well, then clue me in an hour before the show when the...
Well, you're the one that come up with the idea. Hell, I didn't even know. You know, come on. So listen, man, I'm on my way to Lexington very early in the morning.
I hear there's a rally down there.
There is a rally.
I was very proud. I got a press release from the AFL-CIO.
Good. Did they give the proper location and stuff?
Where? ARH headquarters, 2285 Executive Drive, Lexington, Kentucky. Exit 110 off I-75.
Okay, you got it.
And
the original flyer, and it didn't come from the AFL-CIO, it came from somebody else, said Lexington, Virginia. Which was not good, see, because
that's like a whole lot not Lexington,
yeah,
Kentucky.
Yeah, the inventives are there, you know.
But let's see, Holt Baker and AFL-CIO Executive President Arlene Holt Baker is bringing a $20,000 check to the striking nurses.
Very good. Very good. And
this is the way unions are supposed to work, right?
Well, it is the way it's supposed to work, but I want people to realize, too, that $20,000 is, you know, giving everybody $100 for a week.
That's how many nurses there are?
Yeah, there's, you know, over 600 nurses.
Wow.
Due to math, you know. So,
yeah, I mean, bless their hearts, but that won't cover a power bill.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
So is this thing just at a standstill? I mean,
I don't think so. You know, and I'm hoping to. I've been asked to speak at this thing, and I think more than, you know, me speaking, they want my big truck with the 8-foot signs on there that says ARH sucks. You know. They don't say that. That's what they'd say if I was allowed to put it on.
Yeah.
You know, one side of the sign says West Virginia State Building Trade supports these nurses, and the other side says ARH is involved in union busting. Call Jerry Haynes and ask him about Yesen. You know. So.
Yeah, the union busting firm that they hired.
Yes. Plus the Smith and Smith attorneys from down there are, you know, all, well, you know, that's their business also. And, I mean, these people, listen, the other day, I got a call from an organizer for the iron workers the other night, like, I don't know, 9:45. And he just got out of a union meeting. And he said, they're suing me. I said, who's suing you? And he said, the hospital was suing me. Blah, 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 you know. And I just told a guy, I said, look, man, I don't know what this is. Let me find out in the morning and blah, blah, blah. Well, what they did was they filed a ULP, an unfair labor practice, against the organizer for the iron workers because he didn't give them a 10-day notice that he was going to be there. Okay.
You're,
they also filed one against...
I'm dumbstruck, Wayne.
Yeah, they also filed one against the United Mine Workers. And all the nurses told me they filed one against me, too, but they ain't found me yet, man.
Got to serve you somehow.
Yeah. So anyway, I called this guy's business agent up, and I talked to him and all that, and I said, listen, man, I'm, you know, don't get so... I mean, this guy was tore up. You know, I said, this is just a, you know, intimidation thing. You don't have any contractual obligation to give them a notice. You know, you don't have a contract. The nurses had to, and you're standing with people that gave a 10-day notice. You know, give me, you know. Now, 2 days later, the same law firm withdrew the charges. You know, I mean, these are the kind of people that you're dealing with.
You know,
ARH is paying millions of dollars to these people.
Yeah, and that's nothing but the use of law for purposes, I think the way it's phrased is improper purposes and intimidation.
Does the death penalty go with that?
It's not supposed to be done. Lawyers are supposed to, by their own signature, lawyers are supposed to be certifying that it's not being done for that.
So, I mean, kind of like a hypocritical oath kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of like somebody ought to file a complaint with the state bar against the jerk-off who filed the thing and see if you can't threaten his law license.
I know, Bob, if only I was a lawyer.
Look, Wayne, if they find you with this thing, answer it, don't answer it, whatever. If they should happen to have actually filed one against you, file a bar complaint.
Oh, well, listen, we got better lawyers than they do.
Yeah, but no, if you do it yourself,
yeah,
that's fun.
Well, yeah.
Because suddenly the lawyer that's defending the hospital has to defend his own license, and guess what comes first?
Okay.
His own license.
Well, I just, I call Vince. That's my answer.
Mm-hmm.
Vince takes care of everything.
It's nice to have a Vince.
It is. I think, the problem with a lot of our union organizers and union people these days is before they do anything, they call the lawyer first, My rules, call them when you're on your way to jail or something.
Yeah, call them when they can do some good.
Right, sue you or something, Then you call them. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. I think that, there are some legal things that the nurses, it's a war. It's a legal war is what it is.
There are
laws that are on the people's side. Now, it's very questionable. I know that the, Republican NLRB will uphold these things, but it is the law and you have to take that shot. And sometimes following the law requires things that you don't want to do. The best thing the nurses could do right now is to make an unconditional offer to go back to work while this is working. And according to, like a 90-day thing to
cool off, get
cool
your head together.
See what we could work out and blah, 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 blah. And the, with the labor laws the way they are, the minute that they make that offer, replacement workers are no longer allowed to be hired. There's many advantages to doing that, okay?
The PR advantage is huge.
Well, and that's what, but see, most of the nurses are against that. They have valid arguments. We have to.
Sure they do. And there's a lot of bad blood there right now.
Yes, there is. And, they feel like if they go back in, they're giving up their issue of safe staffing. So we're going back with the same staff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But legally, in this war of legalities, this is the best thing to do. And, the governor, they met the Governor Manchin, and I'm going to tell you, I don't always agree with Governor Manchin.
Nor do I.
But the man will get involved. I think he's an asset. He's better than a lot that we've had lately.
Beats the Dickens out of Cecil Underwood.
He beats the Dickens out of Bob Wise, too.
Well, Bob Wise was just 4 years that I didn't know if we had a governor or not.
I know. It was such a disappointment. I worked so hard for him, too. But what are you going to do? That's the way it happened. But anyway, Governor Manchin had both sides to the mansion for breakfast. And, he laid out his, and he's the one that came up with this suggestion of the 90-day cooling off period. I think the offer has to be made because legally that ties the other side's hands for a little while.
Now, if they make the offer, Wayne, is that a unilateral thing? They make the offer and suddenly they get to go back to work, or does the other side have to accept the offer?
Oh, no, the other side has to accept the offer, which is even better. Let them turn it down. Then you expose them for exactly what they are.
Well, right. That goes back to that old LBJ thing where he said, I just want to see him deny it.
Yeah. That's exactly right. And then if they don't deny it, there's where the hard part, war is hell all kinds of work. Well, if they accept it, then you gotta go back to work. But, you know, there, you have rights. You could go to work under this agreement, under the NLRB, you can go to work, work your shift, and then you could go stand on the picket line.
Yeah.
You know, you could wear your union insignias. You could talk to the people that cross the line and say, look, man, you know, or you could choose to ignore them. And, well, like I say, it's legalities, you know, it's a war of laws. And, well, I don't know. We'll see what we can, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to convince them to change their mind. I really would.
Well,
and, you know, the lawyers from United American Nurses are in favor of it. So I think it's, you know, a matter of presenting things right to, you know, to the people involved to get them to agree. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I understand completely.
So...
Well, sometimes, you know, sometimes I think, and maybe because attitudes and passions are running so high, and yeah, I would not for an instant discount their concerns about patient safety.
No.
But somewhere, if you're in this to win it, you've got to take every available advantage. Because if it really is about patient safety, then the patients will be safer once the nurses have won.
That's exactly right. And it's hard to fight for those things when you don't have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, there are, I think, you know, and there are doctors that support these people. They know the right thing. You know, one of them, two of them, hell, I don't know all of them. This one doctor is from Pakistan. And, you know, he's really a great guy. I mean, they have rallies, they buy him food, they, you know.
Bless his heart.
Huh?
Bless his heart.
Oh, God, he's wonderful. It's funny, man. He's kind of like, well, naive, you know. I don't know when he came from Pakistan, but he's an American citizen. And, he says that, you know, I took him to city council meetings. Have I told this story before?
No.
Okay. I take him to city council meetings. I take him to county commission meetings, Democratic executive board meetings. And, you know, we're asking for support. And he thinks city council is what really got him. I mean, he thinks that, you know, all you have to do is go up there and explain to these guys that, you know, ARH is wrong and these nurses are right and blah, 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 and fix it. You know.
Oh, you mean like use persuasion and rational argument and appeal to people's common sense and sense of decency?
And tell the truth.
Yeah,
tell
that.
The truth, that's a real big one, you know. And, you know, he figures they're just going to, okay, blah, blah, blah. Several people spoke, including him, and then I got up and said, you know, listen, these people need your support and blah, blah, blah. One of the city council members told me that he thought it was in bad taste that I brought those nurses in front of them.
Made him actually look at them.
Can you imagine that?
That is in such poor taste, Wayne. I can't believe you'd do something like that.
Exactly. And anyway, this doctor saw all this, you know. So, I'm talking to him and I'm telling him, you know, like, we got to get involved in elections and, you know, putting people into office. And even these, you know, the mayor of Beckley and the city council members, you have to get people that are reasonable and on your side and understand how important organized labor is and blah, 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 blah. That's what you have to do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, one day I was going into a meeting or something, a bid opening or something, and my cell phone rang and it was Dr. Jaffrey. And he calls me, he has an accent.
Mm-hmm.
He calls me Rebich, brother, he said. I said, yeah, Dr. Jaffrey. And he wanted, you know, he was talking about a rally coming up or something or other. Now I said, okay, we'll take care of that. Then he said, and don't forget now, he says, we have to remember elections. I know they're almost 4 years away, but we have to remember, you know, because of the mayor and stuff. And I said, Dr. Jeffries, let me tell you, I said, I just hope that I live long enough for Mayor Pugh to have to run for office again. He said, I keep you alive. I said, okay, brother, that's a deal there.
Hey, you know, yeah, you don't get those offers just every day.
No, exactly. Oh, God, he was funny. But it's been, you know, you meet some really wonderful people. And these nurses, I'm telling you, these nurses are strong, man. They're smart. They're, and, you know.
Any more hateful ugliness from the other side? Anybody's cars getting burned? You know.
I told, yeah, a car got burned.
Yeah, that hadn't happened again or anything, has it?
No. Yeah, it's.
Oh, and did the nurses from out of state show up for Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Beautiful.
There were nurses, a little union from Missouri adopted the Summer County nurses. They can't, you know, well, they're not big enough to do Beckley. And they came in and they sat on the picket line for, you know, I don't know, 16 or 18 hours, Thanksgiving Day, so that the nurses could be with their family. It was cool, man.
Oh.
And, you know, like I say, you meet, it's, well, it's up.
That just gives me chills, Wayne. Honest to God, I just had chills run down my spine just thinking about that kind of sacrifice.
Bob, there have been nurses here from New York, from California, from Wyoming, you know, and I mean three and four, you know, six at a time. And they're sending money, you know, but like I say, it's $20,000 sounds like a lot of money, but when you realize it'll only last a week, it ain't a whole bunch. And, you know, they need help.
It tells you a little bit about what's on the line, doesn't it?
Yes. And, well, and listen, man, these people are fighting for every working person in this country. Whether that person wants them to or not, they are. And, you know, they're union people. I mean, the people that brought you the weekend and the 8-hour day and time and a half and
Labor Day holiday and unemployment compensation.
And, you know.
Yeah.
You know. For everyone. For everyone. Not there, just union members.
There is not a there's not a single good thing that has happened for working people in America that organized labor hasn't made happen.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
because individual workers.
And, you know, my question is, what the hell's wrong with that?
Nothing is wrong with that.
What the hell's wrong with that?
You know, I guess John Fox is probably on a little bit too late for you these days because he comes on at midnight, but.
Yeah, that's way too late, man.
He was
talking. Only funny people get midnight is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
In the rain.
Did you see that?
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you.
But, no, you know, they just had an election down there, and they not only threw out John Howard's government, they threw out John Howard.
Oh, man, I'm well aware of that. I read all about that.
Right, and the thing is, a lot of it was about, something they have in Australia that John has informed me of called work choices.
I haven't.
Well, that's Australian for right to work.
Oh, okay.
The conservative.
Isn't that a cute little name?
Work choices. You get to choose to work.
Yeah.
And your boss gets to choose to pay you what he wants to, or if he wants to pay you, or when he wants to pay you, or if he wants to fire you, he can choose that too. And you have the choice of going along with it. But they
Now, who came out with that?
That was the John Howard government.
That was John Howard. Well, I mean, from reading what this guy is, man, that's going to change.
Well, yeah, it is. And the cool thing about it, though, is they made an election out of it. And working people all over Australia ran. They didn't walk. They ran to the polls to throw these SOPs out. Can you imagine what would happen in America If and I'm not talking about organized labor, I'm talking about the you know, just stand on your own working people, you know, the crowd that says I don't need no union.
You're right.
If you could inform them and get them to go to the polls over something like that, you wouldn't be able to elect a right to work Republican for the next 2,000 years.
Well, that's exactly right, and you know, all this stuff starts too at the local level, the lowest local level. you know, that's, you know, the, we're trying to get a couple of three union, carpenter union locals together to start a PAC to be used for local elections.
Right.
For mayors and council members and county commissions. You know, cause I try to get money for these races, you know, from the bigger PACs, and they don't want to talk, they don't bother with those. You know, if it's a legislator or a senator, okay, but a mayor, you know, and it's, well, that's the wrong thinking. That's where it all starts.
Well, it does, and, you know,
where it all starts.
I keep preaching it. You know, it's not about presidential elections. In the grand scheme of things, presidential elections are good sport. It's like the Super Bowl of politics. But the real politics, well, it's like that bumper sticker, Wayne, that says all politics is local. And the fact of the matter is...
Who used that? Tip O'Neill all the time.
Yeah, I think it was Tip O'Neill.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, if you really want to make change, go run for county commission. Run for Democratic Executive Committee. Hell, show up for the meetings if you want to make change. I mean, most of these meetings, you can hear a pin drop because there's nobody there. Nobody goes to school board meetings.
I was at a council meeting last night. That's why I didn't hear your show.
Yeah.
It's always a drag to go to, you know, 7:30 in the evening and all that jazz and everything.
Believe me, it's planned that way.
Oh, yes, it is. But I walk in and the mayor has to acknowledge me. Hi, Wayne. I say, hey, Emin, how you doing? Go over and shake his hand. And I know that really pisses him off, you know? So it's always worth it once you get there.
So, you know, if we can, you know, not just West Virginia, anywhere within the sound of our voices, Wayne, if we can get people energized enough, you know, and you know what? If you don't win, that's okay, too. If you're out there talking about the issues, you're going to get other people talking about the issues.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Maybe you win next time.
Right. But, well, there's you reach a point of embarrassment at losing. You know, you'll still be acknowledged and stuff, but don't run anymore.
Yeah, but sometimes along the way, I wonder which is more embarrassing, running and losing, or not running and knowing that you didn't even try.
I don't know. You know.
You know what I mean?
After five or six times, Bob.
Well, sure, five or six times, but that first time out of the gate.
No. I think, you know, three, sometimes the third one's the chart.
Well, yeah, if the people have told you three or four times that they're, great, we're just not interested.
You know, please still remain active.
Yeah, or if you go out and, if by some chance you've got a boatload of money, and if you run, you go out there and you run an election and you spend $500,000 on a city council seat, and you get your rear end handed to you, it's a pretty good bet that the next $500,000's going to be thrown after the first one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a case of politically having more dollars than cents.
We have quite a few of those.
Oh, don't we? I seem to recall a certain guy running against a certain Republican congresswoman.
Yeah.
Not lately.
Oh.
And all the money in the world couldn't make him appealing to the voters. But still, that's the downside. The upside is participating.
I think that had something to do with what candidate did he pinch on?
Well, there's that, too. I wasn't going to bring that up, but yeah, there's that.
Well, I'm sorry, man.
I know.
You know, I ended up having to work very hard for the guy.
But you cannot win if you do not play.
That's for sure. But, in that regard, a very good friend of mine who the guy's responsible for getting me into all this stuff, this position and everything, told me something that I think of quite often. Sometimes it's better to be the kingmaker than the king. So,
sure.
That's where I kind of like to operate from, to be honest with you.
Yeah, but it's...
Listen, pal.
Yeah.
It's getting late.
Yeah, it's time to roll out of here.
Stuff. I have to leave very early. How long do you think? I've never been to Lexington.
Oh, Lexington's an easy trip.
Is it?
Yeah, whatever it is to Charleston for you, and then add 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Two and a half to three hours, depending on the weather.
Okay.
But, you know, just get on I-64 and point it west, and you're there.
All right, brother. Anybody listening that lives near Lexington or anything, you know, come on down to the rally. It's in front of ARH headquarters. I can't tell you the address right off, but...
2285 Executive Drive. It's exit 110 off of I-75.
Oh, you're so efficient.
Am I good or what?
Hey, anyway, it starts at noon. All right.
All right. Thanks, man. So you're leaving in the morning? You're not already on the road?
No. I'm going to leave, you know, I don't know, 6 o'clock or something.
Oh, you got plenty. If you leave at 6, you'll be there by 10.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll stop and I'll eat, you know.
Get a cup of coffee, walk around. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know.
Enjoy the drive. It's a pretty drive going through Moorhead and Grayson and Vanceburg and Olive Hill and, yeah.
Okay.
I've driven that road a million times.
I have not.
Well,
I mean, I've been to Huntington, but that's it. Okay, brother.
All right. Take care, Wayne.
Okay.
See you. Hey, please give my best to the nurses.
I surely will.
Tell them we're talking about them and we're thinking about them.
Very good, man.
All right. Later.
All right, brother.
Bye now. And I don't. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Let's see if this is. Hey, this looks like it's actually somebody.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Luke, what's up?
Well, I was sitting here, I had the sound off, was watching the, as I call it, the Tom Tan Creepy Show and others.
I tried that for a little bit, and I got admonished for what bad radio it was running those freaks.
Well, let's put it this way. I'll tell you how good it was. One of the questions I took was from some fellow named Grover Norquist.
You're kidding.
Yep.
Grover Norquist put up a YouTube question?
Uh-huh.
Did it have anything to do with strangling anything in a bathtub?
It was the way you take the pledge about no new taxes.
Luke, I'm really at the end of my tolerance
for while we've been waiting and watching this thing, and I'm going, a four-year-old could ask better questions. CNN's looked for the stupidest questions they could find. You know what I mean? The basic questions, it's sort of like, Would you support a law giving more rights to military families than illegal immigrants? Like, that isn't.
When did you stop beating your wife?
T-ball.
Jesus. We're fresh out of time, Luke. I'm sorry I made you wait so long, my friend.
That's okay.
Let's have a run at it tomorrow, okay?
All righty.
Later. Bye now.
Bye.
Maybe we'll do the post-mortem. All right. Let's try this just for a wee second. Yeah, that's what I thought. You gotta quit doing that. That's the hang-uppy person. Apparently, someone's in a snit. Oh, well. Listen, everybody, thank you. Thank you very kindly. However you joined in, go to the chat room sometime. We got plenty of room. You'll enjoy yourself. Head on RadioNetwork.com. Register. It's easy. It's free. Jump right in. Thanks for your emails, your phone calls. Thanks for the karmic... sensation I get when you sit and just scream at the speakers, because I know you are, because I do too, to tell you the truth. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer. Thanks to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. And thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT consultant and also the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host. Strictly Confidential's on the way. All Foxed Up will be a rerun this evening. John has some things that he has to attend to, so it looks like it'll be Peter Godbold and I on the horn section. I think we'll be able to have a darn fine time. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you. We'll be right back. wife Agnes produced the program. Brian Reznor announces. John Fox in Sydney, Australia, is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains.
This is the Quality News Network. 6,000 Sunni Arab residents of Iraq will join a security pact with American forces in what U.S. military officials term a critical step in securing any remaining escape routes for members of al-Qaeda flushed from extremist strongholds. The new alliance is being called the single largest volunteer mobilization since the war began. In response to this week's Middle Eastern Peace Conference in Annapolis, Maryland, Iran's top leader predicts the demise of Israel as a nation and calls the summit a failure. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad was not invited to the conference. He says no agreement, though, is complete without inclusion of Hamas leaders concerning any future Palestinian state. President Bush, meantime, is asking for the world's support for future peace negotiations between Israeli and Palestinian leaders. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas are both on their way back home after reaching an historic agreement to settle differences concerning a future Palestinian state by late next year. A federal grand jury has begun hearing testimony in the September killing of 17 Iraqi citizens by Blackwater private security guards. In addition, the families of several victims have filed a federal lawsuit against Blackwater USA. U.S. airstrikes over eastern Afghanistan killed at least 14 local members of a road crew working on a highway. U.S. military authorities say the bombings were based on faulty intelligence. President Pervez Musharraf officially left as head of the Pakistani army today. He'll be sworn into his second term as